At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
In scenic views, breaking sports news as it happens on The Fan.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner.
Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
In the office, baby. Going out.
All right, outstanding to have you guys in today. Rothman and Ice. The Iceman, unfortunately, had to take the day off. We wish him well with a family friend in a situation. So our good thoughts are with him as he takes the day off. My man Dave Biddle is here today as we grade this whole thing from last night. How you feeling, bro?
I am doing well, Anthony. How about yourself?
Outstanding. Did you make it? Did you stay up for the entire thing?
Yes, sir. I love it. I absolutely love it. I will definitely stay up. And I would do this even if the Bengals didn't have a third round compensatory pick. That'll be late. I am going to be staying up for every pick tonight for sure. Now, am I going to make it?
I think it starts at 7 tonight, but we're going 2 rounds.
And then we'll see about Saturday. I'll definitely be in at least to the end of the 6th round. We'll see about that. 7th round is where I start to... I'm definitely an NFL draft junkie. That 7th round's where it starts to get a little sketchy
Got, if you're going to go that far, make it to Mr. Irrelevant.
I probably will. I'll have like some music on. Maybe there'll be a Reds game on. At that point, I'll have to see if they're playing a day game on Saturday. So I'll have to have other stuff on at that point. But man, yeah, I was locked in. What about you? Or did you just party after they got your boy JJ?
As they say in the clothing industry, he fits the suit. I think that's really what I can say. We'll get to that. By the way, high floor. I kind of knew we were set up for that anyway. As Viking fans, we were set up for it. I will say that there was an outside chance. I thought that they would get Penix. That they would feel like, all right, let's take a chance. It would fit my team to go up and take a guy. They just lost a guy who has a repaired Achilles. Why not go get this guy who has an injury history, although he has been healthy? And we'll get to that in a minute because that's obviously the one that shocked everybody. But I did make it. I actually stayed up for most of it. I was basement for, I bet, about 29 picks and then bed online for about 3 of them. The last 3. And I'll tell you why that was important to me. I took the under on offensive linemen being drafted. And the under was the underdog. It was at 9.5.
And you nailed it.
And it's amazing that you know that. You're on it. And so I was texting CB about it. And I said, right before the Packers picked at 25, I think I was in really good shape. And then the Packers took a tackle, and then Tampa went back-to-back with a center. And I thought, all right, I got one more card to burn here from 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. So 6 picks, I could have 1 go, not 2. And I was fine when Buffalo pulled their bananas move by trading with Kansas City and letting them take a receiver. And then I thought when Carolina traded to get that last pick, and all I hear the analysts say, well, you got to do what you can to protect Bryce Young. And I'm like, oh, no, this is it. This is going to be the bad beat. I am going to have a lineman taking a pick 32, and they took a receiver. So back-to-back receivers at the end of the draft. So we got the under. By the way, it was plus 130 on the under 9.5. So they really did think, I think it was minus 160 on the over.
The second center was the guy who didn't go. He's the highest ranked, I believe, remaining offensive lineman.
Okay.
So not the guy.
The guy behind the guy.
The guy from Oregon, right?
Okay.
Is he from Oregon? So the guy from Duke went. There was two centers that were, they also can play guard. So that's the guy that was supposed to be the 10th guy. I almost jumped on that. I should have. Good call by you.
There was the no one that value I nailed that I, besides that.
The one bet that I nailed yesterday, and I've been saying this for, I'm like, Jim Harbaugh, unless they trade the pick, he's definitely going to take an offensive lineman, right? Mm-hmm. That to me was the most obvious thing, and I thought Ault was clearly the best offensive lineman in the board. So I did get a plus 380 on Joe Ault.
Really?
Being the fifth pick.
So the reason you got that value, and we've talked about it all week, was that that was a real pivot point in the draft.
Trade.
And you had to know, and I got that wrong. I thought that was the point. Now, when we did our draft yesterday, Maddie and I did our mock, we actually graded this morning, CB and I, and we did not do too awful. We did the first 13 picks.
I was curious where you had Mims, because I'm going to talk about Mims and the Bengals. I know Browns have their first pick tonight. I'm curious what you think about Mims.
Well, Mims is a guy they got, I think, good value on. I know we'll get to that.
Yeah,
we got 3 hours.
Cool.
But the 13 picks that we did, we went 8-5.
Oh, that's pretty good.
The first three that's were good. Handed to us on a platter, right?
Kind of.
Maddie actually went 6-0 with the first six
there
picks.
There were some people that thought maybe Daniels wouldn't go too. But it did seem like that he was going to. But nice work. I think most of the people that did mock drafts didn't do that well. Dane Brugler is one of the best in the business. He did pretty well. He nailed Mims to the Bengals. He got his first three right. I don't know if he did 8 of his first 13. Nice work out of you guys.
Yeah, but most everybody got the first three right.
Pretty much.
I mean, those were the ones. That's like, write your name on the test. The standardized testing will give you a few points.
There were some people who mocked. You're right. Most people did. Majority did. There were some people that mocked J.J. McCarthy. The Patriots might get McCarthy, going back to the Michigan well. There was some talk about that. But you're right. Most people Most people had, the top three correct. And then even the top four. Early, everybody had Marvin going. Those are early mock drafts that came out in January. Everybody had Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals. And then it was like, as you got closer, it was like, well, maybe it'll be four quarterbacks taken. Or what else were we hearing? There was like some helium that Malik Nabers could be the first wide receiver off the board. Then what ended up happening? The originals were all right. He went to the Cardinals. So I love the NFL draft. It's the best reality show on TV by a wide margin. Isn't it great? It's the best. And it's also, the fusion of college football and the NFL, which is great. And then it's just the best reality show on TV when things like Michael Penix happens to the Cardinal or to the Falcons. And then immediately they're hearing from Kirk Cousins' agent that he's not happy. That's just one little example. No one saw that coming. And then you have the sidebar of Kirk Cousins being upset about it. I just absolutely love the NFL draft.
It's very good. And the bet against the quarterbacks not going 1, 2, 3, 4 was a bet against history. It's never been done. So of all the years that it could have been done, I guess this is the one with all those quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks. But if you wanted to bet against history, you would bet that Marvin was going to go 4, or at least a non-quarterback at 4. It was kind of, the draft in Detroit, if you want to just grade the draft, it was cold. Everybody showed up. Cold weather city. I get it. Nashville and Detroit were having like this Twitter war last night. Who did it better? And I did think that, an Eminem with Roger Goodell. Okay. That was probably fairly predictable because of Eminem's being the native son. But I got to tell you, it felt like it was kind of cringy. I thought Goodell was off his game too last night. And not that he would, I don't even know how to describe him being on his game, but I felt like he was a little off. The best thing he did was the pre-taped open with Barry and Megatron and Eminem. That was the best thing they did. Now, when the Lions started walking out, Hutch, Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders, Goff, Amon-Ra, and then you go back to Raj and you get the boos. Okay, we've been there, done that. There were a couple highlights for me. First of all, I was on ESPN all night. I thought ESPN and ABC was going to be simulcast. I forgot it was going to be the college gang doing ABC and the NFL guys doing ESPN. What did you stay on?
It's funny you said that. I completely forgot about that too. And I also was on ESPN. I'm just a creature of habit since the 80s when they were the only ones doing it. I just had it on ESPN. But I didn't. So I didn't even hear what Nick Saban said when he said it live after the Bengals took Mims. I guess he said, well, let me tell you something about this guy. He pulled himself out of the SEC championship game after just 15 plays. What's that say about him? I'm like, jeez, but I didn't hear that live. But I'm with you, man. It's funny you said that. Like I said, because I watched on ESPN and I completely forgot they were two different broadcasts. I thought it was just going to be simulcast.
Yeah, company man. I stayed with ESPN. Here's what I did know. Here's what I did notice. They rarely went back to the desk. Usually, they're showing those guys all the time. It was constant everything else, which I thought was great. They only went back to the desk with Riddick and Kuiper and those guys when needed. But that damn jingle getting played over people talking was a big, that was stupid. I mean,
you don't like the jingle?
No, I like the jingle when the pick is in, but not when Cam Hayward, Man of the Year, is up there talking about something that's important to him, and you're playing the jingle that the pick is in.
I thought you meant if Greenberg was talking. So if Greeny's talking, we can play the jingle.
Anybody's talking.
No, but you're right. If Cam Hayward's up there giving a speech, probably needs, you need to mute the jingle at that point.
I hear you. If someone's at the podium at the stage. I'm talking about the broadcast.
No, I hear you.
When there were people at the podium, playing that damn jingle pick over that was...
I don't know if he does like the jingle.
No, I do.
He's not called it a damn jingle. Yeah. I don't know, Colin. Let's get a ruling from the judge over here.
It's all right. It's fine. It's good.
No, it's all good.
I don't think he likes
it. I'm salivating when it happens. It's Pavlov's dog, whenever they play that thing. There you go. No, I like that. I just don't like it when someone's talking to the podium. The other thing is that the two highlights for me, one was a low light, one was a highlight. The highlight was Dallas Turner eating Doritos wearing a lime green suit. That Dorito dust, if that gets on that suit, and he was eating them two at a time, and so there could have been a crumble on that suit. I thought that was a bold move. I love the confidence, and I tweeted about it, and then, of course, my team trades up to take him, the Vikes. The other thing that was the low light for me also involved my team, and that was at J.J. McCarthy's house. If you're going to have a dog there, pet the dog. Like, even after the pick, everyone's, like, the dog's looking for somebody to, like, say, what about me? And they're all like, no, you sit there and you're just part of the whole look of it. So my team drafted a guy who doesn't pet his dog when they're on national TV. I got to tell you, I don't even know if it was his dog, but I'm ready to adopt that dog and take him as my own. That was not, that says something to me.
I love it. I mean, you're the ultimate dog lover, and of course, leave it to you to analyze. Nobody petting the dog during the NFL draft.
He was looking at everybody.
And it wasn't even just JJ. His whole family ignored the dog, right?
After the pick, before the pick. I mean, put him out there as a prop.
Ignore the girlfriend. Good with that, okay? We're fine with that. Don't ignore the dog. What are you doing? That was a cute dog, too.
Go back and watch when they pick him, and the dog's like doing, like looking there.
Someone pet me.
Hey, what's happening? Are we getting treats?
No, we're in the big time now, pup.
No.
We're in the big time now.
But it was... Listen, the draft in general, I agree. By the way, I felt it, even though the last pick didn't happen till, as we predicted yesterday, right before midnight, if we did the over-under on midnight, it did happen like 11:54. I felt like it did actually kind of move.
Especially, I think, for like, not you, but old guys like me, I almost threw you in that mix, too.
Oh, no.
Who remember very well when it was 15 minutes per pick. That just dragged on like crazy. 10 minutes gets it moving. It really does, and not everybody was using the full 10 minutes either. Now, most teams want to use like a decent amount just to they look at it as an infomercial for their team, but like not everybody was using all 10 minutes. I'm with you, even though it lasted 4 hours or so. It didn't really get going until 8:15, so almost 4 hours. It did feel like it moved along pretty well.
And we didn't have to wait long to hear the pick that shook the first round. Right or very wrong, we will decide next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in the Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, strangest pick of the first round. Rothman and Ice, Dave Bittlin for the Iceman today. You just gave a quarterback $100 million in Kirk Cousins. And at 7, you're sitting there. Were they 7 or 8? I can't. 8.
8.
Yep. They were 8. I'm sorry. So they're at 8, Atlanta's there, and they're thinking, okay, this is a prime trade-up candidate. So what we don't know, a couple things. We don't know if the offers that they presumably got just weren't good enough, didn't blow them away, but I'm surprised they wouldn't. So I think the Raiders, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Penix was the too big of a gamble guy for some teams with his injury history and his age and where he is. But he's also a plug-and-play guy. Like, you do not want him to sit. Like, I feel like he's the guy you want to play right away, only because he's going to be 24 in May, and Cousins has $100 million guaranteed. And before you comment on it, their GM got to the podium and tried to rationalize that this is the NFL and this is what you do.
You can say third, fourth round pick if there's somebody you really believe in the third or fourth round, but you can see that six quarterbacks went in the first round. There's a reason. It's not easy. It's not easy to do in terms of this position finding. And you can, when you really study the drafts and study the history, there's years that there's a couple. And so when you look at really the history, so at the end of the day, if you believe in a player at that position, because if we're all sitting here a few years from now, whenever it is, and this guy's playing pretty good for somebody, regardless of the situation, regardless of you sit back and look back, then and we pass him up, you can't do that. If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as if you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
AR, one of the great things about having a first-round rookie quarterback is what? You get him on that rookie contract for 5 years, right? And then you have all this other money to spend. You know, look what the Houston Texans are able to do. Even the Bengals, this is technically Burrow's last year in his rookie deal. The extension, the big money, doesn't kick until next year. Okay, well, that's out the window with the Falcons. As you said, they're giving Cousins $100 million guaranteed. If you think Penix was the guy, there was a really good chance he was going to be there for you at 8. Why did you sign Cousins for all that money? You could have Penix, as you're saying, plug and play, and then have all this money, that $100 million to spend elsewhere. Now you're going to be up against the cap. It's one of those things. This is why they're the Atlanta Falcons. 3 years ago, I was thinking they had the fourth pick. Man, they should either take Ja'Marr Chase or they should take Penei Sewell. They took Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. Very talented, but they took a tight end, a different kind of tight end. Fourth overall, passed up Chase, passed up Sewell. Both those guys are like perennial Pro Bowlers already. This is why they're the Atlanta Falcons, just a head-scratching move.
I saw that Fontenot was the GM there that was talking, was trying to look like in one of the scenes was trying to explain it to Arthur Blank. I mean, obviously you got to get his approval. There's no way unilaterally they make that decision without the owner stamping that. I can't imagine. That guy would be fired instantly. I can't imagine that if he didn't say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. We want to set this franchise up. But you're right, the timing doesn't make any sense. Now, what they're not telling you, I believe, and what they won't tell you, is that we just gave $100 million to a guy whose Achilles could snap again on the very next play. That's what they're not telling you. And honestly, that would be the best reason to do what they did, is that we're worried about the health of our quarterback, even though we gambled by giving him all the money, because we feel he's really, really good, and we feel we're ready to win, and we feel like winning is fun, and that's why we're in it. And so we spent the money, and we got Cousins, and we're holding our breath that everything works out because we've really upgraded the quarterback position. What they did with Penix is signed an insurance policy at 8. Usually insurance comes later, way later, not at 8, not if you're ready to win. And people that are trying to compare this to Jordan Love sitting for 3 years behind Rodgers, he was 21 when they got him. And the other part is, and I went back and looked at this, how old was Rodgers when he first started? When he first started, he was 25. If Penix is going to be 24 this year, and you think you could sit him for 3 to 4 years, then like you said, you're burning the rookie deal, and when are you going to find out whether he's really the future? When you decide to pick up his fifth-year option? Look what happened with the Bears with Justin Fields. They at least got to see him. Now you could make the case they didn't build around him, and they didn't. And so they got to their fifth year not really knowing whether he was the guy. So they kind of did it to themselves. It's a weird pick. I don't care how you justify it. I think Dan Orlovsky tried to, right? CB, do you have this sound? And listen, this is something no one is saying they didn't get potentially a very good player. But the question is, he wasn't a position player. It was above your needs, way above. Here's Dan Orlovsky on it from ESPN.
When the draft happened last night, unbelievably perplexed by this pick. And then I went to bed, and I thought about it a little bit more, and then I had some insight shared, and not only do I love the pick, I totally understand it. Okay, yes. Atlanta's perspective. Number one, hear me out. Number one, they had Michael Penix as the second best quarterback in this draft attached to Jaden Daniels. Okay? Number two, they expect to be very good with Kirk Cousins over the next couple years. Right. And in experience last night, realizing how expensive it is to get up in the draft when you are back half like that and go get a quarterback, they realized it's going to be too expensive eventually. And then number three, when it came to specific of their experience with Michael Penix, they went and worked him out on a day where it was 50 degrees and windy, and he threw outside. And they all said, leaving that workout, it was like watching somebody throw the football inside. And a couple people there have attachments to Matthew Stafford. And they said it's the closest they've ever seen anybody to throw the football like Matthew Stafford. You don't take a quarterback in the top 10 unless your owner is not only on board with it, wants it. I completely understand the thought process by Atlanta now. I understand the viewpoint of who they got in Michael Penix. And I actually think it's very smart for them to prepare for, in 2 years, there is no development needed. They hit the ground running with whoever quarterback will be starting.
I think it's impressive that he was able to break all that down and then busted out the guitar.
Absolutely.
In the middle of it.
There's no question.
Dan Orlovsky's
well,
a talented young man.
It helps your argument when you start
just
doing
bust
that.
Bust out the guitar.
Here's the issue. He's right. Arthur Blank had to rubber stamp this. The only issue is if this is true and they're going to be waiting, Arthur Blank's going to be 85, 86 when he finally gets to see this quarterback that he approved them taking playing. So that's the other problem. And I'm with him on the player. I think what happened here is we got to eight. Okay, maybe the offers didn't blow us away. Now what do we do? Okay, there's not a defensive player that we feel is value at eight. So if we take this guy, and it's a quarterback league, and we just keep swinging, if Cousins gets hurt or he isn't very effective, we have something to go to. But you obviously didn't know about Penix because you said it right. You could have had him anyway, most likely. I can't say that as 100%. If you don't get Cousins, you feel like you get Penix at eight. Maybe somebody would have come up to five.
I mean, nobody had him mocked that high.
Nobody
you're right.
Did.
I mean, it's not 100%, but I would have said it would have been pretty damn close to 99%. Here's the thing about Penix. We all know, I mean, we watched him in Indiana. He was in Indiana for 4 years. He was at Washington for 2 years. We know him well. He's talented.
Very.
Here's the thing, though, man. Two ACL surgeries, right? And surgeries on both shoulders. Now, the one on the right shoulder doesn't bother me as much as the one on his throwing shoulder. That's entering the NFL, okay? He doesn't have an ACL, I think, in one of his knees. And he's had surgery on both arms, including his throwing. Yeah, he doesn't have three arms. Obviously, his throwing arm is included in the both shoulders. That's a concern, Anthony. It's not the age doesn't concern me because you could say, well, he's 24. Okay. Well, quarterbacks are playing until they're 40 now. That's actually not a bad thing.
Yeah, but he may be actually 40 in his body right now.
Right. That's where I'm concerned. I'm not concerned about the age. I'm concerned that he's walking into the NFL
40.
Right with a 40-year-old body. He's kind of a frail looking guy. Now, he's obviously a tough guy. You're not going to play quarterback.
He took a beating in the title game.
He's a tough guy. There's no doubt about it, but he's pretty slender. My point is that's not going to get better now going to the NFL.
No. It's going to take more hits, and they've bubble wrapped him now as the insurance policy. And I'll just come back to the value of the player didn't meet the value of where they picked, and the need of the player was way below what they needed. So they failed in two areas. Unless they feel like they can dangle him as a trade, which you just picked him. Why would you do that? You could have traded the pick. Honestly, it feels like a failure right now until we see what happens with Kirk Cousins. All right, we'll come back. We'll get Ryan Roberts from Rise and Draft. We'll get his opinion on that and the other stuff from the first round. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
the best bet on the radio. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, the Falcons decided to go in their own minds, best player on the board or best quarterback in their mind that was left. And who knows? Either they didn't get the offers they wanted, or they felt like there wasn't value at eight outside. The Penix blew them away value-wise at eight. I'm looking at it as the complete opposite. Or it's what I said earlier. They're just not, they just don't want to say it out loud that they are worried about Cousins' health, even though they just gave him $100 million. We'll get the expert opinion from our guy Ryan Roberts, Rise and Draft. Ryan is with us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Welcome back, my man.
I appreciate it, guys. How are you?
Can you explain this in a good way? What kind of grade would you give it? I think Penix is a very good player, but there are so many other things to consider here, especially with the fact they just gave, you know, months after signing Cousins to a four-year deal worth up to $180 million, they take a quarterback. Explain it to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the every talking point that I've had on this over the last, like, you know, however many hours. It's been a flaw in the process that I keep coming back to, right? Because I agree with you. Functionally, if you tell me, hey, can Penix be successful in Atlanta, right? I would say, yes, I believe he can be, because I don't dislike Michael Penix. I would have been more in the second round conversation with Michael Penix, but regardless, I do think he can be a functionally solid to good quarterback in the NFL in the right situation. But it comes down to, and you hit on a lot of it already, is that I don't understand the thought process here. The process, in my opinion, is very flawed. You've just paid a quarterback 4 years, $180 million. I understand that there is a potential out after 2 years, so we might be talking about, you know, this as a moot point slightly, and maybe 2026 is when you first see Michael Penix. But I just think about this in a structure of what's the best case scenario here. The best case scenario, I guess, fundamentally, is that Kirk Cousins plays well for 2 years, but then he's 38, and you decide that Michael Penix is ready at 26 to be the guy long term. But I just think that that is such a flawed structure, because if you are saying that you know that Kirk Cousins is your guy for the next 2 years, then the best operation is at number eight to get him some help, right? And it could just be on the defensive side of the ball, which a lot of people thought that's where it was going to go. They thought it was probably going to be the best edge on the board or the best corner on the board. It's kind of the two spots that people kept pointing to. And I think that if you believe that to be true, then you just drafted a backup quarterback for the next 2 years at number eight when you have serious needs across your roster. So I think it's an incredibly flawed process. I don't think it makes much sense. And then the little bit that you saw after the fact of, it seems like Kirk Cousins was very off guard on this situation as well. So now you have the potential of alienating your quarterback as well. So I just don't understand the thought process. I think it's really flawed. If I had to put a letter grade on it, it would be an F, just because I don't, and it's not even an F for Michael Penix to the Falcons. It's a flaw for Michael Penix to the Falcons at number eight after you just gave Kirk Cousins a big contract this offseason.
Ryan, leading up to the draft, there was some debate. Is there going to be six quarterbacks taken in the first round? Well, of course, we had six quarterbacks taken within the first 12 picks, which was wild. What do you think of Bo Nix to the Broncos at 12?
I mean, that's another one where fundamentally, like, I really like Bo Nix with Sean Payton. I think that he is kind of their type of quarterback. I think that he can be pretty successful if they are able to rebuild that roster a little bit. I mean, you need to get some pass catchers, obviously, on day two. I think you need to obviously keep rebuilding the offensive line that took a hit this offseason when Lloyd Cushenberry left. I think that you can figure it out, though, and I think that Bo Nix can be a stable, good player under Sean Payton and the system he wants to run. But number 12 is just too high. I mean, that just comes down to it. If you would have told me Bo Nix to Denver on day two, I would have been floored with it. Like, that's great. You know, that's good value in my opinion. I don't think it's tremendous value, but I think it's a good fit. I think that it can work, but I just think number 12 overall is just a little bit too rich in my blood for Bo Nix.
Ryan Roberts with us, Rise and Draft, as we recap round one from last night. I thought there were two locks. One, that Caleb Williams was going number one, and the other was that Buffalo was not going to walk away from the first round without addressing the glaring need at receiver after trading Stephon Diggs. I struck out on the second one. This move by Brandon Bean and his associates over there, it just, that perplexed me. And not only that, they allowed, you know, one of their competitors to come up and trade Kansas City and get, now you can argue about Xavier Worthy, whether he's going to be an all-pro or not, but that was odd to me. I'd not think the Bills would do that, knowing the depth at receiver. What do you think?
Well, I would have said if you would have asked me before the draft, would the Bills be more likely to be aggressive for wide receiver or to be a little bit stagnant or passive? I would have said that probably aggressive. And the board actually felt pretty good for them because I keep looking at it as if you want to try to move up with number 22 with the Philadelphia Eagles, who Howie Roseman historically is very willing to move and navigate the draft, right? Like he's been aggressive, obviously, to move forward, but he also has moved back in the past. I think that you had a falling Brian Thomas Jr. who didn't go to number 23 to Jacksonville. You could have potentially jumped them and made a play for a guy that I think, if everything comes together, has superstar potential. But they chose to be stagnant and kind of let the board fall. I was shocked that they traded with the Kansas City Chiefs, like absolutely shocked. I mean, obviously, we're talking about conference rivals, right? You're talking about a team that you are – at least the last couple of years, that's the team that you have to get through in order to get to the Super Bowl, and they haven't been able to get it done. So I was really surprised with the trade back partner. But I think fundamentally, are you going to get a similar wide receiver at 28 compared to what you're going to get 33 now after swapping with Carolina? I think you probably will, because I mean there's some really good options at wide receiver. You still have Keon Coleman on the board for Florida State. You still have Ladd McConkey. Like, there's still some really good options, but I was – super surprised that they chose to trade back and allow the Kansas City Chiefs to come up and get the position that you wanted. I thought that was very perplexing.
Ryan, Amarius Mims to the Bengals at 18. I get that he looks like he's straight out of central casting for a right tackle, but only 8 career starts at Georgia. What did you make of that pick?
I actually really liked it. I think at 18, you're taking a little bit of a gamble as far as him being a very inexperienced player. When he plays, I mean, it's really good, man. I mean, if you would have just dropped the Ohio State film from 2022 when he played against them and he was obviously healthy down the stretch that year, you would think that that is a bona fide top 10 player potentially in this year's draft. Now, obviously, 8 career starts as an offensive lineman. That's one of the positions along with quarterback where you're like, experience matters. Like, it absolutely matters. So that gives you some pause. But at the end of the day, Cincinnati at 18, we knew that their offensive line has been just a issue the last few years, right? And I think that having a guy like that talented, I think that you can come in and you can get tremendous value out of him. And you can be patient with him if you choose to be, because they do have, although it's not perfect, they do have a couple experienced offensive linemen, Orlando Brown Jr., Trent Brown. So like, I think you can be a little bit patient with Amarius Mims if you choose to be. But at 18, I'm willing to take a gamble on a kid that is 6'7" plus, 340, 36-plus inch arms, and the athlete he is. Maybe it comes back to haunt you with the durability stuff, but if he's able to stay healthy, I think that kid has superstar upside.
Yep, seems to be a high ceiling there, and I think the value is okay. 4 tackles had already gone off the board, so if they were in that department, they had to strike then. Ryan, great job, man. Appreciate the insight, brother. Enjoy the remaining draft.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan Roberts, Rise and Draft and the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. You know, you start thinking about the value for Amarius Mims, and they had him, I think ESPN had him as the 22nd overall player on the board. All right, so that's overall player. He did go 18, so he went a little ahead of that, but he was ranked a spot ahead of J.C. Latham, who went 7 to the Titans. Now, you can argue, Latham, everyone loved him too. You brought up the right thing. 8 games at right tackle. You just don't know. Like, inconsistent, but when he was on, like he said, he was on, and he could develop into an all-pro. We'll find out. All right, come back and play a little overs and unders into the weekend next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only radio show Ryan Day listens to when we're holding him hostage, making him listen to a radio show. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
Sponsored by Buyers Mazda. BuyersMazda.com. Come see why it's better to buy at Buyers Mazda.
All right, CB, how'd we do?
All right, pretty good week for the house last week. Matty Ice went 2-4. AR, you went 3-3. The misses, you both missed the Donovan Mitchell over-under. He went over in game
crazy,
one.
Yeah.
He missed the over-under on the Lakers scoring game one. They went under the 108.5. You both missed the Leafs and Bruins game one total that went just over with six goals in game one. And then you both missed the weather way under over the weekend, below 58.5.
By the way, your Cavs, there's not enough time for me to just kill them today. What, did they think they had the series won?
You lose
a playoff game by 40?
Is this a tease for 120?
No, I'm not dealing with them today. That's I have them as a throw-in with points, just as like, hey, added value. I pulled in Atlanta Falcons by taking like the Cavs and like plus 9.5 last night. Go ahead and lose by 40 and just mail it in. You know, I did say to Maddie, and I shame on me, because I said to Maddie yesterday, be careful of these teams coming home down 0-2. Their whole series is now. And I didn't, and I trusted myself by giving the Cavs points so they could lose the game. Just don't get crushed. And they get, 120-something to 83? That's...
Your rationale is why I was on the Sixers now. It took Embiid going superhuman for them. Yeah. I thought they were going to smoke the Knicks. And for a while they were. And because here's why. The Knicks won that game two, very shaky. And what happened? The NBA came out and apologized for the officiating in game two. So I'm sitting there thinking, we talked about this.
But in the last minute or no?
Yeah, because Maxey called a timeout. The coach called a timeout and they missed it. So the NBA came out and said,
why didn't Maxey call it?
Well, he's diving on the ground. I think he might have called it too, but clearly, I mean, the coaches, they're calling it and they missed it. So they came out and made a statement. We screwed up. Should have been a timeout for the Sixers, and basically the Sixers would have won the game. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Sixers are going home, down 0-2, everything you're saying. Plus, on top of all that, season on the line, nothing to lose. You know, you're going to probably play your best game. They're also going to get every call, was my rationale there. So, the Magic are a good team, but we'll see what happens. The Cavs are still in a very good spot.
And Embiid almost kind of guaranteed that they were going, they were going to lay it all on the line, but I'm back to that last minute of the Sixer game. You know, yeah, you want to blame the refs. That's fine. They imploded. They did.
I'm with you. I think both are true.
Knicks made big
shots.
Bad
call, but yeah.
Because when Maxey's falling and that stupid inbounds pass, just get a timeout. Just get it in, get a timeout. Settle your team down. Don't say, oh, because the refs are watching the game too, and you're trying to call a timeout as your guy's falling to the floor, and then he's trying to roll it to another guy. They imploded. They had to own it. And I'm glad they bounced back in game three. All right, CB, take over.
All right, let's start with the draft. We'll do the Bengals. They're scheduled for 10 picks. They've already made one. We'll do over-under for the Bengals. Selections at 8.5.
I'll go over. They're very, very, very big about keeping their picks. Now, a couple years ago, they traded up. This is rare for them. They traded up in the second round just 3 picks, and they got Cam Taylor, Britt, and it worked out beautifully. So I think they might trade up once, but not twice.
Yeah.
And I think they'll only give up one pick in that trade, extra pick. So I think they're going to have 9 of their 10 picks. And don't be surprised if it's 10. I like that bet a lot. If that's the actual like Vegas odds, I would take the over there and bet a considerable amount of money, which for me is like 10 bucks, Anthony.
Just have a little summer riding. Got to let it ride.
No Hamilton.
I would say he kind of gave us one here because he's giving us a free pick to burn on a trade. So if they were to do something weird again, like trade up in the second round, and Tobin never does, like it's rare, although he could do it tonight for all I know.
I kind of hope they do. They've got, 10 guys are not going to make this team.
I'm going to take the over with you. I think that they should be able to make at least 9 of the picks.
Yeah.
All right, to the Browns, they have half as many. They have 5 picks starting with tonight in the second round. We'll set their over under at 4.5.
I'm going over.
I think they got to make the picks. It's one of those things where, yeah, could you somehow try to get more picks? Yeah, but I'm going to take the over, sure.
Yeah, I think they're going to go 5 or maybe, yeah, they'll trade back and get extra picks. But I bet, I'd be surprised if they go under.
All right, the Phoenix Suns in game 3, their total points over under set at 106.5.
It's a tough one because they've scored in the mid-90s here in the series. Back to my theory, they're coming home. They're desperate. They've averaged 116 this year. To get them to 107... seems very possible, but they'd have to score. They'd have to do a lot better than what they're doing. Like, what, 93, 95? So I got to get at least 10, 12 more points out of them. But they are at home. I'll take the over. just on that theory of home, desperate, we've averaged a lot more than what we're scoring.
I'm with you. You nailed the formula there. Like we're sticking with our, you're down 0-2, you're going home, you're dangerous. And yeah, and Minnesota's obviously a heck of a defensive team, but I think the Suns are going to go over that number.
Corbin Burns will take the mound for the Orioles today. He faces the Oakland Athletics. My question to you is over under 7.5 strikeouts today.
He's been dynamite to start the year. He's been great. I don't think he's cane guys at an electric rate, but here comes the medicine, the Oakland A's. I mean, they're probably the worst team in baseball as far as striking out or close to it. So I'm going to take the over. He should be in long enough to get this number. Eight's not easy because, like I said, I don't think he's beaten this number this year. Maybe once he's beaten it. But I'm going to use the opponent as my tiebreaker. So I'm going to go over.
Yeah, I mean, they were expected to be the worst team in baseball, and they still might be, although your White Sox, I don't know, man. Oh, boy. There's some bad teams in baseball this year, though. But give me the over as well.
All right, Jets and Avalanche Game 3. They almost hit the over on this total here in Game 1 in the first period, but we will set it at 5.5 for Game 3.
This feels like a gift, too. I mean, Colorado's offense is absolutely clicking. We know at the right time. We know who they have. Now, Georgiev's probably, he's better at home, but I don't think he's that good. So I'm going to take the over on 5.5 goals. I mean, it's obviously a higher return than I would get in just taking the Avs on the money line. So give me the over.
Colin, I feel like I'm agreeing with AR too much. With that being said, give me the under. That's my rationale.
Oh, wow. He broke the streak. I was about to say you were both going for almost all six overs here.
Yeah.
It's more fun that way.
Yeah, it is. Playing a little radio here.
All right. In a very toasty weekend, not the toasted Cheez-Its that AR likes, but a toasty outside weather temperature. We will set the highest temperature for the weekend in Columbus at over under 83.5.
Oh, toasty. 83.5 as I cheat.
The question is, we don't get the real feel. This has to be the actual documented temp.
Is this the one at like that John Glenn International? Is that where
that's
we
exactly
get?
Where it
oh,
comes
is that
from?
Where you get it?
Yep, that's right.
You drive out to the airport, talk to people.
No, they report it.
He drives out there.
Well, I think you need to go out there and go up the ladder.
You don't
next
trust
to,
the actual professionals
I want
working
near that.
There.
I want him near that.
Going out there.
I want him near that wind sock, getting the actual with the birds coming in and out.
Is it 83.5 or 82.5? I'm sorry.
83.5.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going over.
You're going over?
I think it's going to be a real swelter.
I think there might be a little gustier at the airport than other places. I'll go just under.
Remember, it's not the real feel. It's the actual temp.
The actual temperature.
But he is in tune with the barometric pressure, apparently. The barometer. I think it's pronounced thermometer.
Thermometer right now.
All right, we will take a break. First hour in the books. Come back after a SportsCenter update. CJ Stroud took the NFL by storm last year. Who does he think is the most NFL ready quarterback? He answered it. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are the Fan. Ohio sports destiny.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
All right, second hour of the program. Jeff Lloyd, Locked On Browns, jumps on at 1:33. We'll see if the old Brownies are cooking up something fun. We'll do pressure cooker this hour at 1:20. Quarterbacks went flying off the board. 1, 2, 3. Let me go back and look now. The actual order. So 1, 2, 3, and then they grab Penix at 8. McCarthy goes 10. Knicks goes 12. So you had 6 in the first 12. The usual suspects, right? I mean, you knew Denver was going to take a quarterback. Now, do I know they absolutely wanted Bo Nix? Who knows? They had to wait. They didn't have the ammunition the Vikings had. Vikings actually did a pretty good job as far as not spending everything they had to go up to five to get J.J. McCarthy, and I thought they were going to have to. So the fact that the Giants didn't beat him to the punch and then someone didn't jump above them, I thought maybe somebody would tempt the Bears to get out of nine so they could get a haul. I thought the Vikings might do that, but then you'd be, you know, allowing a division rival to get you. But that doesn't seem to matter to a lot of people. And it gave the Vikings their pick, that 23rd pick, to move up to 17 to take Dallas Turner. And so the McCarthy thing, and I've been asked about it, he has a very high floor. Like, do we know enough? No, we have no idea. But he's being handed a situation where he should succeed. If he doesn't succeed in this situation offensively, with this coach, those receivers, that line, that run, like, he should be able to be very efficient. Now, they need a running game for his play action to really work, Dave. Like, I think we'll see what Aaron Jones brings to the table. It can't be all play action if you have no fear of their running game. But I thought this was going to be a race to get McCarthy. I think he has a high floor. I came back, you know, my first comment was, there's a safety, it feels like, in picking him, but there's not a wow factor. There just, it does, and I don't know how many of these guys are really going to be. I mean, I've had people say that Caleb Williams is the most overrated quarterback they've ever seen. I don't know. He seems like he's got a lot of athletic ability to me. Jaden Daniels, exciting, electric. Is he going to keep developing as a passer so Washington thinks they have something? Drake May, high ceiling, maybe a very low floor. Like, risky pick, New England. They got to sit him for a while. Let Brissett deal with all the lumps until the Kraft family can put a team around him. Like, all these quarterbacks going, it's the new NFL. Look what Atlanta did. It's the new NFL. You just keep swinging for a quarterback until you find the right one. It doesn't matter what it costs. It just matters what it makes. And that's why Atlanta did what they did. They're fearful of that. Wait a minute. If this guy's gone in 3 years, we got a franchise quarterback sitting behind him. And they've seen other teams do it. Not a lot of teams can be as fortunate as Houston and say, you know what, look at Stroud. Because I had a friend of mine text me last night and said, man, your Vikes, what a joke. He is so soft. And you know what I said back? He said about Caleb. Felt he was soft. And I said, you know what, I'll tell you this. They were saying the same thing about C.J. Stroud, the very same thing. He won't run. He's averse to running. He'll run out of bounds. He won't go get that third and five and take off with his leg. They were saying the same thing about him until the Georgia game. And then everything changed, and his confidence went through the roof, and he's like, you know what? I can be a star in this league. I don't think McCarthy is Stroud. Honestly, nobody really does. But with the right team, he could be very efficient. We'll see what he turns into. I just think he has a higher floor than a higher ceiling, and that's why the Vikes did it. Well, how do you feel about McCarthy?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you make a lot of good points there. I think he does have a relatively high floor. The character, you don't have to worry about character with him.
Good
okay,
kid.
And you, what do we see with great quarterbacks, right? They're all like 100% committed to football, right? I mean, they're football nerds. I use like Peyton Manning, for example, even though Tom Brady, you know, think of him as a nerd. He was a football nerd, though. You know what I mean? So you can't be a guy that's a knucklehead and be a good NFL quarterback. It just doesn't happen. So J.J. McCarthy, good young man. Yeah, we're in Columbus, Ohio saying this, but still, got to call a spade a spade. And he's a tough kid, too. Like, he was a really good hockey player. Like, even though he's, you know, not the, you know, he's tall. He's not the biggest guy as far as, like, being muscle-bound, but he's a tough guy. He was a really good hockey player. Yeah, my concern would be the lack of passing attempts and just the lack of downfield passing acumen in general, like, because it's going to get a lot harder. We know the windows in the NFL are just crazy tight. They close fast. So that would be my concern with JJ, which is why you guys were able to get him when you did. You were able to get him 10th. You didn't have to give up a bunch of draft capital, like you're saying. I think that's really good for the Vikings, because I thought they were going to have to give up a lot to move up to, let's say, 6th or even higher than that. They were able to sit there and only move up one spot. That's really good for them, because as we know, you're paying a ton to move up. Every spot you move up in the first round, you're paying a ton. So if you move up 5 spots, you're giving up a ton of capital. So we'll see. I'll frankly be surprised if he's a really good NFL quarterback. I think this is kind of what you're alluding to. Like, he's got a high floor, but maybe not a high ceiling. We'll see.
I mean, if you be a poor man's Kirk Cousins, I'll kind of take it.
Definitely take
that.
Or if
you can to be a poor man's Matt Ryan, or somebody that you feel like you trust to throw the football, you trust to make the right decisions, but is he going to actually, like, that's the same thing with Cousins. Cousins had a great stats, really good thrower, smart, and all that. And yet, there was always that ceiling. But could he win you the big game? Like, it's kind of, you get to a point where, like, you have to have a team around him. There are so many Patrick Mahomeses out there where you feel like we're only going to win because of him.
Right.
Right? And, I mean, yep. Josh Allen hits a ceiling at some point.
Burrow has that feeling a little bit. As a Bengal fan, there's times that, because you're just so used to over the years, like, oh gosh, we don't really have a chance in this game. And then Burrow changed that. Mm-hmm. I remember the year they went to the Super Bowl. And even the next year, you're thinking, every time going in the game, you feel like you have a chance because of Joe Burrow. Now, we got to keep him, if he gets another serious injury, it's going to start to feel like, is this guy extremely injury prone?
Well, there's your Mims pick.
Other than that, yeah. I mean, I get it. I wanted an offensive lineman there, but I wanted the guy the Steelers took two picks later. And I get Mims is straight out of central casting for a right tackle. There's no doubt. What, is he going to mm-hmm. be a guard? Is he maybe a center? No, this dude's 6'8", 350, and moves really well. He's definitely a right tackle. So that was their concern with Fashanu, but I kind of wanted Fashanu anyway because you don't know if he's a tackle or a guard. He'll probably end up being a guard. I like them getting an offensive lineman. And another thing, a couple other guys that I wanted weren't there. I was hoping for Byron Murphy, even though I knew that mm-hmm. that was probably a pipe dream, or the offensive tackle from Oregon State. Fuaga, all those guys were gone. So I think I see why they took Mims. That's just like the most Bengal pick ever. And it feels like every year they're taking a guy. This is the window is open. Now, Burrow says the window's open my entire career, which I love that quote. I love his confidence. But like, okay, 2 years ago, they take Dax Hill. And they knew he wasn't even going to play much as a rookie. They just take him to be Jesse Bates' replacement. Turns out he wasn't good as Jesse Bates' replacement. That wasn't a good pick. Last year, they took Miles Murphy, knowing he wasn't going to play much at defensive end. Good pick for the future. Well, he didn't look that good. So you keep taking guys like that are not projected starters. I think at some point the Bengals need to have a philosophy change there and take guys in the first round that can come right in and help. Because you're taking Mims as the guy that's going to come in and be the backup to Trent Brown. I don't know if that's smart. I don't know.
Offensive linemen are key. I said it the other day, nobody wants them, but it's like going to check out that new house. The first question you ask is, you don't ask about the foundation. First thing you ask about, hey, is there a backyard? And is it in a good neighborhood? And where are the schools? And this and that. I mean, how's the foundation? Ain't cracks in that? We'll let the inspector worry about that. Don't worry about that. You like the price? Like, honestly, you build a team through the offensive line.
I agree with you. I wanted an offensive lineman.
Just for them.
They needed it. They needed an offensive lineman because you got to keep Burrow upright. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, the desperate teams, the quarterback, you can't win without one. I thought they got a guy with a solid arm that can move. Honestly, I think he checked both boxes, J.J. McCarthy.
That's another thing about him I'm glad you pointed. Yeah, he's very good on the move. Now, is he like Lamar Jackson on the move? No, of course not. Or Justin Fields. But
they weren't getting that guy.
He's very mobile, and he can also throw pretty well on the run, too. I said, you know, his passing acumen would give me some trepidation. But mm-hmm. I think one thing that, yeah, another thing in your favor is he can throw pretty well on the run, and that's going to be a key thing to do in the NFL.
He's going to have to go right away, or at least let Sam Darnold, you know, mentor him up a hair. But no, he's the guy, and they didn't have to go all the way up to get him. I don't know if they would rather add Drake May, but I'll tell you who thinks pretty highly of him is C.J. Stroud. CB, let's hear C.J. Stroud ranking the instant-ready NFL quarterbacks.
I mean, it's hard to just pick one. I'm in a toss.
Who's the most NFL-ready?
I feel like Drake May is. You watch his tape. Just his arm talent jumps off. I mean, he's one guy that, like, to me, like, the one mistake that I did early on in, like, those first couple games was I moved around too much. Like, I didn't get the ball out on time. I started taking risks that weren't even downfield. They're necessarily scrambling. And when you watch his tape, he scrambles when he needs to. He throws guys open. And he has, like, right here, he has rollout ability, like, different arm angles. So
I feel like when you watch Drake May.
I'm surprised he didn't say Jaden Daniels was the most NFL ready, or even Penix. You mentioned that earlier. Penix is mm-hmm. like, you can say all this and that about Penix injury history. This, but plug and play, you would think, right? At 24, played 6 years in college. I'm surprised he didn't say Jaden Daniels. He went with May there. Interesting. CJ knows a little bit about quarterback. I might have to take him at his word there.
It's a good answer because he answered it. Right. And so whatever he's watching, he sees an athletic quarterback with good accuracy and he can see the field. His mechanics, I don't think CJ was really judging that part of it. I think he was just judging the highlights that he sees. That's an elite quarterback. But you're right. It's hard not to look at Michael Penix and say, forget everything. If I need to win a game today, he's the guy I'm taking. Like, maybe that would be the better question. You need to win a game tomorrow. I'll give you any of these prospects. Who do you want?
Gee, I still might
take Jaden. It's not Drake May, though.
I still might take Jaden. Bears fans are going to be like, how are you not saying Caleb Williams? I get it. He's very talented.
No, because Jaden can
run. I might go Jaden Daniels, though. Just because, and I know Brian Kelly's offense is very quarterback friendly. I get that. But man, I mean, and he had really, really, really good wide receivers to throw to. I get all of that. But if I had to win a game right now with any of these guys, probably Jaden Daniels is who I would go with. I'd be tempted Caleb Williams, but I just trust Jaden a little bit more. I don't know.
He can get you out of a mess, right? I mean, that's
so can Caleb.
And Caleb can too. And that's why
so
they
can JJ.
And that's why they went 1-2.
Yeah.
But if I needed to win a game tomorrow, and I could have any one of these quarterbacks, it feels like Penix would have been the answer. I'm not saying Caleb wouldn't be. You're right. I trust Caleb a hair more than Jaden Daniels as far as getting me that victory, but who knows? This is unbelievable as far as what they reach for now. They have to. They have to. It's the key
Six
to everything.
In the first 12 picks. Yeah.
And,
that's so
and
funny.
None of them are really considered lock franchise QBs.
Some people think Caleb Williams is, but I and he might be. I am not in the camp that he is a sure thing. I'm just not. Like, for example, who was a sure thing? You know, I mean, you can say nobody was a sure thing, but I felt that way about Andrew Luck, for example. And if he would have stayed in the league, I think he was a sure thing. I felt that way about Burrow. We'll see. But I don't feel that way about Caleb Williams. He's not that tall. He's listed at 6'1". I think he's more like 6 foot. And there's just little things that bother me, like painting your nails F Utah, but not F for the game. I don't need my quarterback, dude. That's what I'm talking about, knucklehead stuff. Dude. I don't need my quarterback painting F Utah for the Pac-12 championship game for the world to see it. Yeah. And then he's showing it on TV.
It's a little premeditated.
I don't know.
That's not like Baker Mayfield stuff during a game, emotions, doing whatever.
Another thing I didn't like about Baker, remember he's throwing the football at dudes like before the game on the other team. Do you remember this? That's one of the things I didn't like about Baker coming out. It wasn't just planting the flag, whatever. They won. Ohio State celebrated on their field the previous year. Yeah, I think they were playing Kansas State or Kansas. One of the two. Oklahoma's playing them, and there was something that happened the previous year. Baker, when he's throwing the football with his guys, decides he's just going to throw football at one of their players when they were going through warm-ups. Just knucklehead stuff like that. Now, Baker's getting the last laugh, right? He's coming off a big year. He's got paid. But still, that's one of the things I didn't like about Baker coming out. I thought he was a little bit of a knucklehead.
Stupid move by Caleb. And it didn't cost him anything. Because all these teams care about is if he's angry and motivated and wants to win and leave it all on the field, he can paint his nails whatever he wants. That's the mentality.
If you're a Bears fan, that's how you should feel. If he's going to win games for us and play, we can paint his face for all we care. Nobody's going to care about that.
All right, we come back. Pressure cooker. Who's going in? Find out. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you're starting your day any other way, you're doing it wrong. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by United Dairy Farmers.
All right, a little pressure cooker time, my man. Are you feeling it? I will tell you what. I'll go to the ice. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, Saturday night, their host Boston, and the Leafs are down 2-1. The pressure's on. They've been carried by their stars in the regular season. So where are they now? I mean, this is one of the best offenses in the league. 3.63 goals a game. That's just behind the Avs. Austin Matthews, you know about the firepower that they have. Their offense needs to take over, and soon. There are a few teams I think that could equal what they have in scoring potential. Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Tavares. Like, they score in bunches, and they could take the series. I mean, they've scored 6 goals in 3 games. I wasn't a math major, but that's two a game, and that's not good when your calling card is offense. So you can't go back to Boston down 3-1. And you certainly don't want to have a game 7 on their ice either. So I'm going to put Saturday night a lot of pressure on the Leafs to come through and have their offense that has been so good this year to finally show itself.
Before I give my first one, is Austin Matthews the best American hockey player ever? And if not, who is? Chelios? I mean, he's got to be already up there, right? He's got to be.
He's very much. I would say
American-born hockey players. He's got to be up there. I'm looking at a list. One has Kane, Chelios, Leach, Matthews is on there, Modano. 69 goals this year. Unbelievable. I love that. Okay. I'm kind of rooting for the Leafs just because of that. And I think it'd be in the time that are we kind of rooting for the streak to continue of U.S. teams winning? It's kind of weird that it's been so long since the Canadian teams won the Cup. So I'm kind of rooting for the Leafs this year. All right, my first one, I'm going with the Bengals. The pressure's on. I thought that they, again, a boomer bust pick. They maybe it'll work out this time. They just have been so bad drafting on the offensive line, whether it's been in the first round or the second round, Jackson Carmen, or the fourth round. They have not done a good job. Look at their line. Four-fifths of their line. Free agents. That tells you everything you know about how they've drafted. And they've used plenty of picks on draft on offensive linemen. They got to get it right tonight. They've got 2 third-round picks. They've got a second-round pick. They've got to beef up at defensive tackle. I won't be surprised if they take 2 D tackles, if not tonight, 1 tonight and then 1 tomorrow. So pressure's on the Bengals to get this right. Burrow's window is open. Get it right.
All right. I'm going to go with the mounting pressure that is just going to keep piling on. Maybe unfortunate, but he's in a pretty good situation. And that's young Charlie Woods, the son of the legend. He didn't advance in his first attempt to make the U.S. Open this year. I know he's 15. Give him a break, right? Yes. Shot 9 over 81. Couldn't qualify. He finished 61 out of 71 guys. Shot 40 on the front, 41 on the back. Now, there were 80 spots for like 10,000 guys. But he is Charlie Woods. And it was his second chance to try to qualify for a PGA-level event. He did not qualify for the Cognizant earlier in February, and he shot an 86 that day. There's plenty of time, so hear me correctly. But his dad was in a major at 19. So if you're trying to compare him to dad, which is probably very unfair, he's got 4 years to get this right. He did help his high school team win a state championship. But I just feel like maybe him failing early is actually better than being out there at 15 and thinking he's going to win 18 majors. So I think there's kind of half and half here on the pressure, but I think the more he keeps putting himself out there, probably the better. And maybe he is a little humbled, but I don't think there'll be any less pressure because I think everyone had him, well, he's at least got to make the tour. And I'm talking about the PGA Tour. And so I think the mounting pressure again, and this just comes off because yesterday he tried to qualify the U.S. Open and didn't make it in his local qualifying to get to the next stage. So I'll put Charlie Woods in the cooker. He'll probably stay there a while.
I'm putting the Milwaukee Bucks in the cooker, okay? I mean, they're going to Indiana. They're down, or excuse me, the series is tied 1-1, but now they've lost home court already. Giannis is, of course, banged up. They looked good in the first game and looked bad in the second game, and Pacers could take control of this series tonight. I say tonight loosely. Early start, 5:30 p.m. for an NBA playoff game tonight. 5:30, Bucks at Pacers. You got Clippers at Mavericks after that, and then the nightcap, T-Wolves at Suns. I almost went with the Suns. I don't think it matters. I think that they're not going to come back, but Suns down 0-2. I do like the Suns to win tonight and cover. And initially, I thought they were going to give the Timberwolves trouble in this series. I don't think they're going to come back and win the series. I do think they're going to win tonight, though, the Suns will. But I'm going
to
go with...
We also like them to score at least 107.
We do like that, Anthony. Thank you for pointing that out, going back to the first hour of the show. We like the over, which won't be easy. Minnesota, good defensive team, and the Suns have not even scored 100 yet in this series. But I'm going to go with the Bucks. Pressure's on them today at 5:30.
I really like that call by you, because they limped into the playoffs, figuratively and literally, because of Giannis. They lost 7 of 10, and they lost their star. And this is a team that almost won 50 games. Now, I know they're different without him. The difference is they've lost home court now, and I'm glad you pointed out. So they're a dog tonight. They have to be.
Six and a half, yeah.
Okay, and they thought they could rest Giannis and bring him back on the fly. Well, now you're kind of in case of emergency break glass. We'll see how it goes tonight. And then, they've had two coaches, and I get that. They've gone through different defensive philosophies, but I actually like that call by you a lot because the Bucks were one of those teams like, eh, don't worry, we'll beat the Pacers. We'll be okay. Giannis will come back. Well, you know what they say, mess around and find out. We'll see. My last one would be, I'm putting the pressure on the Pirates. Paul Skeens, it's time. It's time to get up here. He finally gave up an earned run.
Oh, my
gosh. Believe it or not.
Breaking news.
Which sent his ERA soaring to an astronomical 0.53. All right? He's 21 years old. He's the top pitching prospect. His workload has been built up. It's difficult for me to understand their rationale behind having him continue building volume in the minor leagues instead of contributing to the major leagues. But I'm going to put the pressure. I picked him up when he was owned like 40-ish percent. In my fantasy league,
good
he's
work.
Now up to 64%.
I figured there was some fantasy. I figured. I was even going to ask you. He's got to be on your fantasy team for you to be this.
Let's make an impact,
baby. You're 100% right, but I'm like, he's
bring him up.
He's got to be on Anthony's fantasy team for you to be this animated about
bring
it.
Bring him up. Paul Skeens, baby. It's time.
You're totally right. It is time. What a great pick. I mean, it was an obvious pick, but you know, good for the Pirates getting him number one overall last year. He's going to be a stud. It's like they got their own version of Strasburg now. All right, staying with baseball, yeah. I'm going to go with pressure's on the Cincinnati Reds. They have a very tough stretch coming up. I don't mean the next few games. The next 34 games, this is going to be their toughest stretch of the season. It begins tonight at Texas, defending World Series champs. The Reds swept them last year in Arlington, so you know the Rangers are going to be ready for that. So, and people thought, oh, maybe the Central's not going to be that good this year. The Brewers don't have Burns. Brewers are good. Oh, maybe the Cubs won't be that good. Cubs are good, and Council, I think, is, if not the best manager in baseball, one of the best, and they stole him from the Brewers. So Brewers are good, Cubs are good. Reds can't afford to fall too far behind. They've got to at least tread water during this stretch.
All right, there's your pressure cooker for the weekend. We come back with Jeff Lloyd, Locked On Browns. Could they do the unthinkable and actually take a page out of the Falcons' book? Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Their cholesterol numbers put all other fan hosts to shame. You were listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, Brownies. They've been on the clock a while. Had plenty of time. Second round, number 54 tonight in Detroit. They will make that pick, presumably. They currently own just 5 picks in a 7-round draft. So we'll see if they parlay that into something more or something less or trade up. But our man, Jeff Lloyd, our guy, host of Locked On Brownies, is with us now on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, guys. How you doing? And actually, just real quick, the Browns do have 6 picks.
Oh,
about
six.
A week and a half ago, okay. They traded a reserve offensive lineman to Tennessee for pick 211. I'm sorry, pick 227 in this draft. So it is 6 picks they're working with, yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Nope. Thanks for the update. That is a very good update. All right. So they'll have 2 picks in the 7th round then, I guess. All right.
We're definitely hitting our over of 4.5 now.
Yeah, definitely.
Remember that?
Yeah, they should make those picks. Hey, Jeff, I saw a wild story today about, not that the Browns could pull a Falcons here because obviously they'd be picking a quarterback way late, but of those 6 picks you mentioned, will one be a quarterback?
Well, there is intrigue. They've had a lot of interest and a lot of spent time with Joe Milton from the University of Tennessee. However, there are, you know, several outlets reporting that there might be a few teams looking at Joe Milton as a possibly tight end conversion. Very athletic, 6'3", weighs in the 240s. Could be something that happens. And you would think the Browns, you look at the way that tight end room is now. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, in that room after David Njoku. So it could be something they could address right out of the gate today. There's still time to find something else for that room before training camp. But you have to think in some way, somehow, the Cleveland Browns are looking at the tight end market this weekend.
Well, how do they feel about Dorian Thompson-Robinson? There was some, you know, a lot of helium that they really liked him last year. Has he kind of fallen out of favor?
I don't know if it's necessarily fallen out of favor. I think he ended up getting on the field earlier than maybe they expected. And last year, once the team got successful after the Deshaun Watson injury and you saw that it was very feasible and it was a very smooth path over those last six games to get to the playoffs, obviously you don't always have the option of seeing a Joe Flacco out there. The Browns said, well, look, we know what that guy's track record is. We could try to groom this fifth-round rookie that we drafted. We might not make the playoffs if we bring Joe Flacco in here and he does maybe just 80% of what we think he can do, we'll make to the playoffs. And also keep in mind, you know, DTR did get injured, obviously took the big shot in Denver, did get injured in the Houston game. He was playing in a reserve role. I don't know if he's necessarily fallen out of favor. I think maybe the path just became too big of a situation that the team and the regime was comfortable in, you know, putting it in the hands of a fifth-round rookie.
Jeff, what are the biggest needs for the Browns overall, and who are you kind of targeting in your mind? Who's your wish list for tonight with their first pick in the second round?
I keep going back to this tight end situation, and it's been something I've been back and forth with over the couple of weeks. You look at a wide receiver. Say you go wide receiver here at 54. The best that wide receiver maybe comes in is wide receiver 4 on your roster. You have Moore. You have Cooper. Obviously, we understand they're both on contract years. Jerry Jeudy, the pecking order is probably going to be pretty close to the amount of targets for Coop and Jeudy. So you don't see so much room there for a path. Offensive line, yes, but this would be offensive tackle number 4. We're still wondering where we're going to put DeJuan Jones this year. So drafting a tackle, which I agree with, you have a brand new offensive line coach and you need some future to that offensive line room, but you can still get bang for your buck at 54. Tight end, Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott graded as a better athlete than David Njoku. David Njoku was a high school high jumper. His vertical was 38.5 inches. Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State, 6'3" and change, 250 pounds. His vertical was 40 inches. So it's not like this guy is, you know, limited athletically. He's just as athletic as David is, has experience playing in the backfield as a fullback, as an H-back, as a tight end. You bring him in here and you look at that as a possible tight end number 2, and it seems to suit it pretty well. Also factor in the special teams thoughts now. Coverage is going to be a lot different than it was the last couple of years where everybody was just booting the ball into the stands. These are going to be your athletic players, your reserve tight ends, your reserve wide receivers, your reserve defensive backs, your reserve linebackers. So it's a move there. So, you know, defensive tackle, you could get a player like Johnny Newton from Illinois to end up close enough for the Browns to pounce. And this is one of those ones, well, we didn't see this scenario coming. So, yeah, we'll change on the fly because we had no thoughts of getting a player of this ilk here. But for me, I just look at that tight end position. You could say maybe it's Tavian Sanders, the tight end out of Texas. For me, I look at Ben Sinnott, and that's the guy for me there at 54.
Jeff Lloyd with us, Locked On Browns. He's the host on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. All right, two things. One, I feel like the receiver situation, I agree with you, but I would throw this back at you and get your reaction. So Amari Cooper's not a young guy. He's clearly number one, but he'll be, what, 30 during the final year of his deal. And Elijah Moore, I think, is entering the final year of his current deal.
Yes.
So I know that they technically have kind of gone all in on offense and they feel good about it, but the depth, I guess it depends who's there, right? Do you see them moving for a guy like Newton, or does he have to fall to them? And now I'm going back to another position, obviously, but I want to get your opinion on both those things. What about the depth they'll need at wide receiver moving forward, and would they have to actually trade tonight to get up to get their guy?
Well, look, we've seen this scenario before. You know, obviously a couple seasons ago, JOK was out there. The Browns pounced up in the second round to get a player they thought really, really highly of. That has panned out, obviously about to sign a long-time contract extension and remain with the Cleveland Browns. So you can only make the move, you know, 10 picks in advance, 5 picks in advance. Then you start working the phones and say, wow, this is getting close. This is, oh, wow, it's getting closer. So you start working those phones, trying to see what you can develop, what you got to part with to move up. As far as the wide receiver thing, look, the Browns have now got 3 years in a row without a first-round pick. They are slated to be back in the first round next year. And what do we talk about every year when we start talking about wide receivers for the draft? Oh, my God, this class is bananas. This is the best class, wide receiver class ever. And it just seems that these guys just keep elevating and elevating and elevating. I mean, look, high school football teams are throwing the ball 40 times a game. There is no shock that these wide receivers are as highly developed as they are by the time they get to the NFL. So as much as everybody loves the guys here in the 2024 class, this is all going to start again come October next year when guys are lighting up scoreboards and there'll be a whole new dozen guys that everybody seems to fall in love with at the wide receiver position. I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm not saying they won't do it. And maybe getting in a year earlier as opposed to a year later could be the route to go. But there are rumors they would like to extend Amari maybe for another season or two. I think that is probably a path they're looking at. Amari is such the personality that this team loves. He is exactly like Nick Chubb. The only time we ever see or hear from him is on the field on Sundays. He is not a big talker. He is not out big socially. I think they like Cooper and would like to extend things there. It could be wide receiver, but I just think there are paths to playing time right away for other positions currently on the Browns roster.
Jeff, do you expect that the Browns will pick up the fifth-year option on Greg Newsome?
I have no doubts that they're going to pick it up. I think the thing was, it was different, and maybe who knows what happened. And it wasn't this offseason, because, look, it's been kind of quiet this offseason as far as Greg Newsome being moved. A lot of that chatter was last year, and I think a lot of it was the emergence, certainly, of Martin Emerson. You had Denzel. You had Greg. How was it all going to work? I think once everybody sat down and talked with Jim Schwartz, everybody was more at ease. And Jim said, look, whoever's covering, and whenever I'm on the field, just give me about 1.5 seconds. You know what? Most likely you're not even going to have to make a play on the ball, because I'm going to attack the living daylights out of the quarterback. You look at what Greg did last year. Players were out, obviously. Greg was certainly one that missed time. So between the three of them, the goal is to hopefully always have two each and every game week. Greg probably had one of the biggest defensive plays of the season, returning that interception for a touchdown in Baltimore, giving the opportunity to pull out that big needed road win. Greg can play on the inside. Greg can play on the outside. He is going to get that option picked up. He may be even play on that fifth-year option, but that's when it's going to get interesting, obviously, for the Browns. You know, you'll have Emerson, and you will have Newsome on the verge of new contracts at the exact same time. But this is also 2 years further down the road for Denzel Ward. So, I don't think Greg's going anywhere, because the thing is you're going to have to take whatever you get for him and then go find another Greg Newsome. That might not be the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. Jeff Lloyd with us, giving us great insight on the Brownies, picking 54 overall tonight to start their draft. Thanks, Jeff. Enjoy it, man. Have a great weekend.
All the best, gentlemen. We'll talk soon.
You got it. He was on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I do think they're going to go defensive line there at 54 if they don't move. And the guy that I don't think we mentioned during that was the former Buckeye.
Oh, yeah.
If Mike Hall, by the way, he probably will be there at 54.
Initially, I thought he was going to be, he might slide to the third round. Now, everybody who I trust, you know, who does this for a living is saying second round. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's not there. But if he is there, I think the Browns will take him, especially if Newton's off the board. I'm surprised there's even any smoke that Newton could. There's one mock that had him falling to the Bengals pick in the second round. So that would be before the Browns pick, but not too far before then. If Newton falls to the Bengals, I think they're going to take him.
You guys pick the Browns, 49?
That sounds right. Yeah. And then if he falls to the Browns, I think the Browns will take Newton. And then I think either team, I think the Bengals want a D tackle. So if Newton's off the board, I think they'll take Hall. Same thing with Browns. Yeah, the Browns are going to want Newton. If he somehow falls, if not, I think they would take Mike Hall. Man, the Browns are starting to lock up a lot of Buckeyes up there, man. Starting to stock up on Buckeyes, Colin.
By the way, the reason that I asked him would they have to go up to get him is because I don't think Newton's going to be there for either one of them.
That's what it surprises me. A lot of people thought he might go late first round. In fact, most people had him going late first. So he's probably going to be one of these guys you're going to have to move up to get. Right?
Should I go out on a limb and say that Buffalo 99.9% is taking a receiver tonight at 33?
And then trading him to the Chiefs so they can just continue their dynasty. What are you doing?
I feel like that could be.
We can't beat you. So let's give you a guy with 4.2 speed so we really can't beat you. After we trade away Diggs. I don't know what they're doing in Buffalo, man.
Buckeye Bulletin up next. Marvin Harrison taking the desert by storm. He's already being compared to an 11-time Pro Bowler. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
If your idea of the perfect radio show is all Buckeyes all the time, then it's your lucky day, Slappy. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, the other lock of all locks was Marvin Harrison Jr. Although I shouldn't say that because they were throwing out neighbors and they were throwing out him as a maybe taller version or faster version or whatever. By the way, I don't know why everyone is so ready to get rid of the Maserati Marv. Like, the people don't like the nickname. I don't know whether Gus just did it too much and it just got overkill. But everything I saw last night was, okay, can we just shelf that finally?
Why?
I don't know. I thought it was a pretty good nickname, and he seems to be okay with it.
What I don't like, I love sports nicknames. What I don't like in sports nicknames, and you and I have talked about this before, it's like so many nicknames are just recycled. Javon Curse was the Freak, and then this next guy comes along. Let's call him the Freak, because people are calling Jeremiah Smith for Ohio State the Freak. I'm like, can we be unique here? And somebody came up with Optimus Prime. I like that. Yeah, man. I mean, you got to be unique with your sports names, right?
It's a little surprising that people are so upset about
But I like Maserati Marv. I like it. Maybe Gus is a bit of a polarizing figure. Maybe that's it.
Maybe it was because... So last night when they made the pick and he goes fourth overall, and somebody said, well, would you rather have him or Neighbors? And I think it may have been...
Booger?
Well, it had to be because it was LSU.
Yeah, it definitely was Booger.
And so
yeah.
I think he's the one that said... I'd rather have a Ferrari than a Maserati. Like, I'd rather have the faster guy. And that's what he made the reference to. And then all I saw on Twitter was this Maserati Marv that's got to go. Like,
his Maserati goes 185, man. Exactly. He lost his license. Now he can't drive.
That's exactly right. But life's been good.
It's been very good for Marv. Yes.
Listen, we know he's coming up. You know, I talked about Charlie Woods in the... pressure cooker. I mean, this guy's got a dad, a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and we know he can run and run any route. He's not a burner. Everybody knows that, but he's plenty fast enough, and he can pretty much catch anything you throw his way. Now he's going to be going up against NFL corners. We know that, and he does have a lot of pressure because he's the first weapon taken, and it's to the point where he's going to be compared to a legend, Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry the legend. You know, he really is a legend, man, to be able to play for as long as he did and be successful throughout that whole career. I'm definitely honored to be able to be, you know, have those comparisons. You know, I'm going to do my best to just be the best player that I can be and not worry about anything else. I'm going to have comparisons my whole life, going to compare it to my dad. Larry's another great player now that I'd be compared to, but I'm just going to go out there and try to be the best player I can be.
Anthony, he's bust-proof, and I don't use that lightly in football, okay? Now, we're taking injuries out of the equation. Obviously, if he has a catastrophic injury, and he hasn't been injured. He could withstand like an ACL tear and come back and be fine. I'm talking about something that would be like a catastrophic injury. Anything short of that, he's bust-proof. Now, doesn't mean he's going to go to Canton, but he is at least, tell me if you agree with this, at the very least, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a really good NFL player for at least a decade. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, that was just a money pick by the Cardinals, and I think they did the same thing with Paris Johnson last year, another Ohio State kid. That's a kid right there. You get him number 6 overall, starts every game as a rookie, he's played every snap as a rookie. He's going to get that second contract. You have your left tackle for 10 years right there. You got two Buckeyes that are just going to be down there in Phoenix, Glendale, Arizona, the Valley of the Sun for the next decade, in my opinion.
Yeah, the numbers to get him to the Hall are going to be based on if Kyler Murray actually lives up, right? Because yes. You can only do so much as a receiver. We've had great receivers in the NFL that unfortunately got put with bad quarterbacks. And now, it's a lot easier to leave now, free agency, trade, demand this, demand that. Back in the day, it was like you got drafted there, you pretty much stayed there. Unless they wanted you gone. And so he's got every part of the ability. I did talk to a Buckeye fan, I think it was this morning, after the draft, and we were comparing that Neighbor's comment about he just, quote, wants it more, or something like duel to the death and all that. And what keeps coming back, unfortunately, is that early little slant route with Kyle in the Michigan game. People still put that 50-50 on him versus Kyle.
I don't. I mean, people can. That's fine. I certainly don't. That was not a good throw by Kyle.
No. It's could it be both? Yeah. But why would you're not going to pin one play on the guy? He's exceptional. He's elite. I wouldn't have the guts to take anybody over him if I was drafting a receiver first. Doesn't mean the other guys aren't going to be great, too. They probably will be. But all these guys, he's about as ready-made as you can get. And let's hear from what his dad taught him.
Just go out there, have fun. Have fun, play the game that you love to play. Work hard each and every single day, and then when the game days come, just have fun and already put the work in. Just go out there and do what you've been trained to do.
And speaking of putting the work in, you don't have to worry about that with him. I'm telling you, we'd be over there for interviews. It'd be like way before practice would start. He's in there getting early work in with the jugs machine. Okay, we'd be there for interviews after practice. Guess who's staying after practice? Marvin Harrison Jr. staying after practice to get more work in. This kid works
his butt
off.
That's a jugs machine with one G, correct?
That's
just want to make
that is correct.
All right, just want to make sure.
Everybody's a comedian.
That's right. Or try to
get you to funny bone. You and Frank, your boy Frank Caliendo. That's so funny. You and I didn't even know that we were both going to be there. I mean, I just saw you down there. I was like, wait a minute, that's Anthony. Great show, by the way.
I think he's coming back next month.
You know, I wanted to finally. That was like your 15th time. You guys were boys. That was my first time seeing him in person. I loved it. I was one of the ones in the audience yelling, Gruden!
Yeah. There are very few people that do impressions that you know who they are just by a facial expression. Right. And when he does like George Bush or something, like, you know who he's doing. It's amazing. It's like he morphed into him. By the way, yes. Last thing on Marvin Harrison Jr. CB brought this up to us. So I don't know if you get it, but when you're linked to a team like Browns or Vikes or whatever, you get those emails from NFL.com. So I instantly get my J.J. McCarthy advertisement here. Buy his pre-order his jersey. All right. Swipe, delete, whatever. I'm not doing that. But I guess all the Arizona fans wanted to buy Marv's jersey, and CB, what happened?
Well, they were pretty much met with a message that you can't because he did not sign his licensing agreement with the NFLPA yet.
So just buy your Paris Johnson Jr. jerseys for now, and then you can get your Marvin Harrison Jr.
You might be playing with a wide receiver number 18 when it comes to Madden this summer, too.
There you go.
If he doesn't sign it.
Throw the ball to 6'4", 18 from Ohio State.
He's not in the Madden game yet, and his jersey's not available until he signs, if he signs, when he signs, whatever.
And this is just a flat rate.
This is not a negotiation, right?
This is not a negotiation.
I think it's like a percentage of sales of your actual jersey.
Well, yeah, sign it up. Come on, Marv.
What might happen. All these guys, I'm my own brand. Let me design my own, sell my own, own my own. It's very possible.
Big baller brand.
Now, the players have to join the union, right?
Yeah, they definitely have to do that.
But they don't have
to sign this agreement, uh-huh. Correct?
So that means they retain their full NIL rights.
It's following us to the NFL.
Okay. Sorry, fans. You'll just have to wait. You'll get one. It may be just something that his team designs, not the NFL.
You can probably use that site that Scotty Vegas uses in China.
Yes.
They can make anything in that site in China. It's only going to cost you $20. It might get here in like 6 months, though. Maybe.
Will any of the numbers be a little bit off?
That says borrow, not burrow. Happy birthday!
But I got it 50% off. Look how cheap I got it.
Oh, a lot less than 50%. I can get those things for like 20. Like, they look like actual NFL jerseys for like $20. Seriously. Scotty will tell you about it.
I think I've seen it. I think he's gotten a lot of compliments on it. Yes. So the one he got is
and I'm
okay.
Like, you do tell people that this is not the. He's like, no, I don't. Like, I give them for presents, and they think
I think he bought that
$200 jersey, and then I paid $20. Yeah.
He bought that expensive watch too. The problem it said Xlax, not Rolex. And I'm not really sure. It was a smooth move, though. Either way, all right. We come back deep dive after a SportsCenter update. By the way, Nick Saban, his first chance at being an analyst. Did he decide to incriminate himself? Hear it next, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
You mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, final hour of the program on a Friday. Anthony Rothman, Dave Bittlin for the Iceman. CB at the controls. Jensen Lewis will toss some chin music. 2:33 with him. Draft is in the books. The shocker was Atlanta. CB, get ready to have that Fontenot bite, the other one queued up. They did not need a quarterback. They took a very talented quarterback. They certainly, this goes beyond anything you would say as far as value. You paid a guy $100 million, and I keep coming back to this. The one thing they cannot say out loud is that we are going to hold our breath on Kirk Cousins. We thought it was a great gamble paying him $100 million guaranteed. He's got the numbers that can prove that he's worth it, but will he last? And how long he lasts is anybody's guess.
You like that?
He likes it. He keeps getting paid. But yes. Apparently he didn't like, and we'll get to it, they didn't like this pick. You know what I have to say to that? Too damn bad. You got $100 million. Go out, play this guy, keep him on the bench. You shouldn't be afraid of Michael
Penix.
I don't
think it's that, though.
He wanted a weapon? Like, yeah. He wanted the Aaron Rodgers thing?
Totally. I think that's 100% what it was. It wasn't so much as they're picking. Yeah, and not just a first-round pick. I remember Roethlisberger when they took Steelers took Rudolph in the third round. Roethlisberger was upset about it, and I understood. He's like, we could have got a player there he was upset about that.
I
totally get it. This is the number 8 overall pick.
It just
shows
Kirk
Cousins, you're thinking, okay, we're going to add to our defense. We're going to get another weapon for me. We're going to do this or that, and you get Michael Penix, and a lot of people are saying not only do you get a quarterback, you reach for one. I'd be upset too I would not be upset about having that bank account, but using the number 8 pick on Penix, I would have been upset too if I was Cousins.
He's probably going to be a first rounder in this draft. He was going to be a first rounder anyway, not 8.
Yes.
But here's the Atlanta GM on why draft a developmental QB.
You can say third, fourth round pick. If there's somebody you really believe in the third or fourth round, but you can see 6 quarterbacks went in the first round. There's a reason. It's not easy. It's not easy to do in terms of this position finding. And you can, when you really study the drafts and study the history, there's years that there's none, that there's years that there's a couple. And so when you look at really the history, so at the end of the day, if you believe in a player at that position, because if we're all sitting here a few years from now, whenever it is, and this guy's playing pretty good for somebody, regardless of the situation, regardless of you sit back and look back, then and we pass him up, you can't do that. If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as. If you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
It's flawed.
It's totally flawed.
And by the way, every other team needed a quarterback. You didn't. That's the difference. When he said, 6 quarterbacks went in the top 12. Yeah, go look at the teams that pick quarterbacks. They don't have one. You just gave a guy $100 million, who, by the way, is proven to be pretty damn good at his best. And so that's where it's flawed. It's not that Michael Penix is a bad player. He might turn out to be the best of all these 6. But he's going to be on your bench because it's counterintuitive to think he wouldn't be.
And that's another reason it's flawed is because we talked about this earlier. What's the best thing about having a good rookie quarterback is you get him on his rookie contract. And what can you do then? Use all that extra money that you'd be spending on the quarterback position to build up your team, right? But you don't have that with Penix because you're already paying a quarterback $100 million guaranteed. It doesn't make any sense. Also, I don't like the rationale of, well, you know what? We're going to be so good. It's going to be a long time before we're drafting this high again. So we better get our quarterback now. Different sport. You know what this reminds me of? Chicago Bulls made a bunch of trades last few years. And I remember their GM saying, you know what? Kind of said, paraphrasing, when they made all these trades, trading a first rounder for the right to sign DeMar DeRozan, who was a free agent anyway, and trading what ended up being Franz Wagner. And they got Vucevic for him. Anyway, my point is, their rationale was, well, we're going to be so good, it won't matter that we're getting up all these first-round picks. The Chicago Bulls are going to be so good, but this team we're building, we're not going to need these first-round picks because they'd be late in the first round anyway. No, you gave up a bunch of good first-round picks, lottery picks,
as it turns out.
So, if
we're going to blow those picks anyway. What if he came to the podium and said that?
Well, here's the thing, you're the Falcons. What makes you think you won't be picking in the top 10 again? Yeah. I mean, you're the Falcons. You picked. This is the same organization that took Kyle Pitts over Jamar Chase and Penny Sewell, and I thought that was crazy.
Well, he might have been the next Kelsey.
They also had the first. Yeah, and most of the tight ends go not in the first round. It's the worst position to take in the first round as a tight end. Then what do? They had the number 8 pick. They had their choice of any wide receiver. Maybe Drake London will be good. You know who he's not going to be as good as? Garrett Wilson. He's not going to be as good as Chris Olave. They took Drake London over both those guys. The Atlanta Falcons are terrible at this. They're terrible at this.
Well, maybe blame the owner. I can't imagine that he wasn't a big part of this. I mean, look, you talk about first-round tight ends. I mean, Brock Bowers went to the Raiders, right? I mean, he went 13. So they look at him as more of a tight end.
Right, 13 is not number
Hockenson,
four.
Yeah. He's turned out to be pretty good as a first-round tight end.
The Lions upgraded.
CB's
the
guy Lions, now, but it was late.
The
it
Lions upgraded. Njoku. They got Laporta in the second round, and he was better already than Hockenson.
I agree.
So the Lions are loving life. By the way, Detroit put on a nice show last night. They did good. I think everybody in Detroit was there. There were so
pretty
many
strong.
People there. It was
freezing,
nice.
Too.
And the Lions, again, had a. You know, I thought they made a good pick. Lions have a good roster, my friends.
Listen, I'm with you on that. The odds would say do not draft a tight end in the first round. I just named a few that have turned out pretty well. But here's the one thing that I'd rather have them say that they can't say out loud. And I'm sorry, I keep repeating myself. They gave a 36-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles $100 million. And so they're fearful that they'll be stuck with a good team without a quarterback if he gets injured. And so that's why they did it. And if he went to the podium and said that, I'd have a lot more respect for him. Guys, we took a pretty big gamble. We like our gamble, but this is football. It's a violent sport. Anything can happen on any play. We saw the value in Michael Penix at 8 being so above what we couldn't pass on. There was no defensive player there that met that value, and nobody offered us something that we thought we couldn't turn down. So guess what? We made the pick. That's if he says that, then all the sports fans in the nation say, you know what? I may not agree, but I respect his honesty. But he kind of went with this, oh, all these quarterbacks, you got to take one. No, you didn't have to. You did for that reason. You can't convince me of anything else.
But then people would say if he did that, he would be being honest because I think you're onto something. But then what would people say? They'd be like, oh, so you're admitting that you
we're worried.
You bought damaged goods. You mm-hmm. over. Not only did you overpay,
well, they
in some people's
damaged
opinion,
goods. You know, they can share Penix. Parts.
There you go.
Their quarterbacks
maybe
now.
If one of those guys like stays upright, they'll be okay. Listen, okay,
maybe they'll do not Tommy John surgery. They'll do the Michael. They'll do the Penix cousin surgery.
There you
we
go.
Take your Achilles, give it to him. His shoulder goes to you.
There you go. Get your ACL back. But there you go. I mean, they
with
took
David
with the number 8 pick. They took an insurance policy, and
yeah.
to say like, listen, and if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's fine. It's like, listen, I know that worked out for Jordan Love and the Packers. I get that. I feel like that's the exception to the rule.
He was 21
here.
When they picked him, not 24.
And that's the exception to the rule, right? And by the way, Aaron Rodgers won 2 MVPs during that time.
And he was 21 when they picked him.
Do we think that Cousins is going to win an MVP, let alone 2? No, different situation. Yeah. But look around the league, though, all the other guys. You know, Burrow's an example. You know, Mahomes before he got his extension. Josh Allen. Herbert, on and on and on and on and on. CJ Stroud's the best example right now. The Titans have him on his rookie deal, including the fifth-year option, for 4 more years. This is why they can go out and spend like they're spending. So that's another thing, man. If you get, I keep repeating myself, if you get a quarterback at number 8, one of the beautiful things is, especially a guy like Penix that you feel like can plug and play, one of the beautiful things is then you have all this money to play with that you're not investing in the quarterback position, the most expensive position in football, to then go build up your roster. And the Falcons are not going to be able to do that because they've invested so much in the quarterback position.
It's odd. It was the shocker of the first round. There's no question about it. It's the one team that didn't need a quarterback, took one, and they took one early. This isn't a team trading back up in the first round to say, hey, we need that insurance policy, which is probably where they could have gotten Penix is late. They didn't do it, and here we sit. And they feel good about it because they got a very good player. But to sell to your fans the best case scenario is that this guy never sees the field, like that's just a tough sell in this NFL. But I understand it. He just doesn't want to admit what's painfully obvious. We're going to hold our breath on every play.
I mean, I think you nailed it, though. They're not going to admit it, and they do have trepidation that Cousins is not going to be ready. They feel like, right or wrong, they feel like they have a good team.
Yeah.
And in you can't not have a quarterback and have a good. So they feel like now we got 2.
Right.
So at least if one guy gets hurt, we should be covered. I mean, in theory, I can
look what the Browns did. They got into the
playoffs. Understand it, but I just don't think it was smart at all. I think they're going to regret it.
So the other guy, and we'll play this when we come back, CB. The other guy in the equation, which is Kirk Cousins, who's been paid a lot of money, was not too happy, according to sources. And the GM had to address that. How did you tell him? When did you tell him? And did it matter? You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Bobby Carpenter doesn't have a mullet, but he's knee-deep in mullet energy. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rockman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, a little Bet365 time, because at Bet365, they don't do ordinary. So I'm not going to do ordinary for the draft. Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick of the draft this weekend. You can bet on him to be a defensive player or an offensive player. CB, do you have any take on the history of Mr. Irrelevant?
Just that I probably would bet that it's been more often a offensive player than a defensive.
I think you would be correct on that. So, yes, we have, well, we have a defensive player last year. We have, now, who is supposed to pick last? That should be your question. And I believe it's the Jets. So we had a defensive player last year go to the Rams. We had Purdy go the year before to the Niners. Then it went linebacker, linebacker, tight end, wide receiver, quarterback, and so on.
Watch it be
so
a
really, there really is no rhyme or reason to this. So my question to you guys is, should I take the value of defensive player, which is being offered at plus 110, versus offense at minus 140?
It's kind of like counting cards here. You know, the first 14 picks were offense, right? So now it's kind of got to even out, I think, toward the end of the draft, right? So let's go defense.
Let's go defense.
Let's roll the dice there.
At plus 110.
Plus 110.
And you can get in on the fun at Bet365, where it's never ordinary. Sign up at oh.bet365.com. Got to be 21 or older. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
All right. The odds were not in Kirk Cousins' favor as far as getting another weapon last night at 8. It was absolutely the most unpredictable thing. And I will tell you, I looked up the odds. And I think I saw Penix getting drafted at and the 8th slot was 66 to 1.
I'm surprised it's not higher, actually. I would have guessed, like, if you just would have thrown, I would have guessed 100 to 1. It just seemed like it wasn't even like a possibility leading into the draft. I mean, thought the key 13th was high for him.
The key to get to 66 to 1 was that Atlanta was keeping the pick. I think the reason it couldn't be much higher is, what if they trade that pick and then he gets taken there? But still, Penix was not ranked higher than McCarthy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everybody had the top four. They had McCarthy fourth. Yeah. Pretty much everybody, right? And then it was like, oh, there's a big drop-off then to Penix and Knicks. Not so much.
Nope. So that was, like the odds say, very, very unpredictable. Cousins, I heard, and I don't know if you guys heard this as well, was at a pre-hype party for the Falcons. Did you guys hear this?
Jeez. I did, because you told me during the break. This is hilarious.
I got to get this confirmed.
This is hilarious.
I heard that he was at the hype party getting all the fans super hyped about the 8th pick. Now, I don't think he was there when they made the pick. I think he left and then they called him. But CB, the GM, let's hear the soundbite of the timing of alerting their quarterback they were taking a quarterback.
Questions for Terry or Raheem, whichever one of you called Kirk. When you were on the clock and you tell me about it, what's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know, and obviously we...
Reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got called on the clock, obviously, because it's a sensitive time with the issues of what you got going on. It's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things, and reactions are always going to be private when it comes to those things, unless Kirk decides to tell you some of those things, that or whatever the case may be. But he's a competitor, just like us all, and you can always expect those things to go just like you kind of think.
I would pay
his
big
agents kind of been telling us that they were shocked and dismayed and so forth, that they were informed on the clock.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would pay
good money to hear that phone call. I'm sure it started out with, you guys can't be serious, right? There's no way Cousins probably thought he was being punked, right? And then when he found out it was legit, I don't think he really likes to cuss a lot, but I'm sure it wasn't a very cordial call, because it was, what, 30 minutes later his agent was telling people in the press how mad they were about it? Oh, I'd love to hear that call.
When Kirk left the Vikes to go to Atlanta, he said, it's not about the dollars. I wanted to feel wanted. Vikings wanted him. And then he took the highest offer and went to a team that immediately drafts his future replacement, presumably. Ed Werder tweeted, I seem to recall Cousins explaining his decision to leave the Vikes for the Falcons was based on the sense only one team was truly committed to him. He surely felt betrayed by the Falcons' decision to draft Michael Penix at 8. All right, we'll see. You know he'll put on a good look on this. Now, the other amazing story that's going around is that the owner of the Carolina Panthers, David Tepper. I mean, the joke is, right, NFL owner walks into a bar. Like, there's a sign outside a Charlotte bar that said, please let the coach and GM pick this year. Okay, great, clever, having a little fun, gets people to notice, because presumably Tepper's the one that threw the hammer down to take Bryce
instead of C.J. Stroud. I'm convinced, right. Frank Reich wanted C.J. Stroud, yeah.
So, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Apparently, Tepper was either walking by or drove by, saw the sign, stopped, went in, and not to have like a good joke about it and take some pictures in front of it, which I think would have been much more ingratiating. Instead, I guess he was like reading them the riot act.
Yeah, and pretty much took the hat off of one of the guys in this surveillance video. I mean, between this and the throwing the drink on the fan incident at the game, I believe it was last year.
Exactly, Jacksonville.
There's just too much adding up that shows that this might not be a great guy.
Yeah, I mean, and that he just looks so... Just doing that, throwing that drink on that fan is just so low rent. And then how squirrely he was about it. I mean, he threw it on and then kind of like ran off, you know? This guy, hedge fund guy who has no business running an NFL team, but thinks he does. He's like down there telling him who to draft. He goes over analytics with the head coach and his play calls. Seriously.
All right. I'm gonna spin this for you guys the way they're spinning it, and I want you to tell me if you're buying it. The surveillance video showed that you said, CB, that Tepper goes inside, talks to employees, and then rips a hat off. There was a witness that said, or the owner is now spinning it, who knows, maybe bought off the owner, is saying he came in and wanted to know who did the sign. And then he said he seemed really nice about it, and he was joking around. He even shook hands with the manager and was giving him hell about his Eagles hat. You know, you really don't really know someone until you actually know them, right? Like, so my question to you guys is, does that spin take him off the hook?
If
the
surveillance
video, I will say it is accurate. It looks like there is an Eagles hat on
the guy.
That's
actually kind of fun. If they're having fun, I actually like that.
But he did rip the hat off.
He did it forcefully. It just looked very odd.
That's kind of funny. Let's say I ran into, I was wearing a Bengals hat or something. I ran into Jimmy Haslam. He's like, that's a terrible hat, and ripped it off
and
of me.
And he knocked it off?
I would think that's funny,
and
though.
Then you as punched him in the face?
Okay, if that, he got okay. to that level, okay, if he's like ripping off truckers or something, then things might happen. But like, if it was just that, I would think it was funny, you know? So I needed to learn more. I thought you were saying that, like, he went in there all mean-spirited everything.
Well, that's what the surveillance video looks like.
If he went in there, like, laughing about it and, like, just having some fun, that's good, because his reputation could not be any worse. He's a terrible owner, throwing drinks on fans, you know, telling your front office who to draft. And, by the way, that's going to go down as one of the worst decisions ever, taking Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud, but have fun with that. But if he was in there having fun, I'm all for it.
He did say, you know, back then he lets the football people make the football decisions.
Yeah, right.
Like any owner would do that, right? Anyway, here we are. They've got their third head coach in 3 years and a new general manager, so it's not like he lets football people be football people.
Had you ever heard of the Panthers' current head coach?
Dave Canales?
Yeah. I had never heard of him.
I mean, I know
he was the offensive coordinator of the Bucks last year. Now, when he was, I'm like, Who is that?
What is funny is we had the sound, I believe it was yesterday, he met with the media talking about Xavier Leggett, who they eventually picked at 32 last night. Leggett had been telling media that the Panthers told him they were going to take him at 33, and the joke was that Canales said, yeah, I said it to him and probably 50 other guys, so, and then tried to put it in that perspective, but it is funny to see they trade up one spot to then take that guy.
Interesting. Anthony definitely liked that because it cashed his bet, baby.
When they traded up, I'm online at 11:55 p.m.
Get some protection for there Bryce Young. And Anthony's like, you got to be kidding me. And then they take a wide receiver, and Rothman's like, yes.
There you go. Yes. I took the value.
Partying like a Roth star, man.
All right, we come back. We're going to toss a little chin music. The best record in the AL. Not best record percentage-wise in all of Major League Baseball, but, man, they are right there, the Guardians. I'm going to ask J. Lou about a certain player that seems to be rising up the fantasy boards. We'll ask him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Your own risk. It's time for some chin music with former big leaguer and president of the Bald is Beautiful fan club, Jensen Lewis.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane air conditioners.
Oh, he is the man, and he's hanging out with an 18-7 ball club. Cleveland Guardians, 2.5 up on the Royals, 4 up on the Tigers. Twins are there at 6.5, and the 3-win Shy Sox ready to disband the organization. He's our guy, Jensen Lewis. We toss some chin music with our man. J. Lou, how you feeling?
What's up, boys? We safely made it back from the southernmost point. Did not want to leave, but yes, back to the real world we are.
Key West, yeah, that's outstanding, man. Man can really get some thinking done down there. yes, that's really outstanding. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that kind of spills out into the streets and all that. You get some good body cam videos coming out of Key West all the time. Let me ask you this. So I just said they're 18-7. Now, technically, they have the most wins in Major League Baseball. Percentage-wise, I still think they're behind the Braves. However, if I'm telling you they have the most wins in baseball, where would you rank the Cleveland Guardians in Major League Baseball as far as like power rank them?
You know, that's a great question. And I think initially I'd probably put them at fifth. And the reason being is that they are going to get this good litmus test. You know, that's what people have been asking, like, hey, you know, are they for real? I believe we know Atlanta is, even with the injuries that they've had to deal with. I think Baltimore is for real. I know people are looking at the Yankees and saying, okay, no Gerrit Cole, and you know, I haven't gotten Aaron Judge going yet. I think they're going to be here to stay. So, and I would throw the Brewers in there too. So I realize those are your top win teams at the moment, but yeah, I could say comfortably at five. They're pretty good. You know, plus 49 run differential is the best in baseball, and a lot of that due to their bullpen. But we're going to find out a lot about this group. They're 10-3 on the road. They get they're tied for the most wins or second most wins on the road behind the Red Sox with 11. So we'll see what happens in this 3-game set.
Yeah, J. Lou, you nailed it. I was going to ask you about that plus 49 run differential, best in baseball, as you said. So for people that are wondering, are they real? Yeah, they're real. You don't do that. You don't go 18-7 and lead baseball in run differential unless you're for real.
And also to think about bids, you know, their second least runs allowed, second only to Kansas City. It's ironic that you have two central teams that are leading in that category, but it's a credit to where Stephen Vogt has really been able to navigate these games and deploy a lot of bullpen resources that have been effective. I've said it now for the first couple of weeks. I believe it was a firm mentality from not only the coaching staff, but the front office, realizing the injuries to both Beeper and McKenzie last year, and obviously the three young starters and Bybee and Gavin and Logan Allen were coming off top inning thresholds in their professional career. They told the bullpen guys, be ready from day one. You're all going to get used because we've got to protect the integrity of that rotation.
All right, so there was a guy that popped up in my fantasy league week. That, no, it's relevant because of who he plays for. All right, I'm not going to just make this the Anthony Ruffin fantasy show. But I would say that when I saw that Tyler Freeman was out there, and I know he's only batting 221, but he's battling for playing time now, and he's winning that battle. And he was only—I'm telling you—he's owned in my fantasy league. It was like 20%, and that's up like 15 or 16%. He swipes a lot of bags. What do you think of Tyler Freeman's that long-term play? Is he here to stay?
Yeah, I think at the moment, and you're in a good spot to start him tonight. He's hitting 278 against lefties, going up against Chris Sale. The Guardians are in Atlanta tonight. And I think just navigating, that outfield in various stadiums for the first time, I mean, it's just remarkable to see a position change go pretty smoothly. I mean, outside of maybe a couple of routes and he got crossed up maybe once or twice on breaks, he's made all the plays that you need to make, and he's made some spectacular ones too. So, if you're Miles Straw sitting down there in Columbus, sorry, man, I don't think any change is happening anytime soon, the way that Voter has really been matching up with those outfield scenarios and really getting a healthy rotation of the guys that are already up.
Are you surprised, not just because they're what they're doing without Bieber, but are you surprised where they're at overall, the guards? I think they came in, I believe, according to Bet365, I think their over-under was 83 wins coming into the year. Are you surprised where they're at right now, J. Lou?
Yeah, I am, and I think that's just probably across the board. And many people I talked to around the league, I don't think they expected the offense to be this good this early. And also remember, this is now just getting Jose Ramirez going at the same time that Josh Naylor is. Stephen Kwan leads the world in hits. And, where that bottom of the lineup with Brennan and Freeman and now, hopefully getting, Bo Naylor going in the next couple of weeks, that could really prolong this. People ask me, is this something that can last? I don't know yet. I think once you get into June and July, probably ask that question again. But right now, 8th in average, 9 in on base, 8th in OPS, 6th in runs, and they're 19th in homers. Guys, they were dead last year in homers, so to already be that far ahead, at least on pace to be, that's a big reason why they are where they are.
So I'm a little bit worried about Logan Allen. I you can tell me how you feel about this. His ERA is now over 5. I think one quality start, although you look at his record 3-0, so that's spotless. He does get the ball tonight against the Braves. So give me your take on that. I mean, I liked him before the season started, but I don't love the way this is trending.
I'm actually pretty high on him tonight. Okay. I think he's got enough where, Atlanta loves velocity, and he's the one guy that's not going to have that, at least of the projected starters here for the next couple of days. So I would definitely think that Guardians money line is live tonight. Mm. And if they are in that position where, from a bullpen standpoint, I mean, they already have a better bullpen than Atlanta, at least the way they're pitching right now. So you get them a lead after 5, they could be signed, sealed, and delivered. Ozzie Albee's going to come off the IL tonight, so he'll be back in the lineup. But obviously, you got to contend with Ozuna and the hot start that he's had. Acuna's really started to turn around. But I think his stuff and just the matchup tonight, it's kind of sneaky good value there if you think the Guardians can take game one.
All right, let's go down I-71. I got to ask you about my Reds, J. Lou. I'm happy with the record, 14-11 right now. I see some things I'm not happy with this team. Now, came into the season pretty ravaged by injuries. But forecast the Reds for me. How do you think, and I think the division might be a little tougher than people thought, the NL Central. How do you feel about the Reds for the rest of this season?
Yeah, Bids, I had told AR and Maddie at the beginning of the year, they were my biggest feast or famine team. And I feel that at this point, I'm still shocked that Ellie De La Cruz is like 18-1 to win the National League MVP with the year that he's put up right now. I think they have dealt so well with the loss of Matt McClain and just the dynamic he and Friedel had at the top of the lineup. So you've seen David Bell kind of tinker with that, with Will Benson leading off, and then obviously Ellie doing what he's doing in the two spot. So now, as you kind of forecast out, I mean, this is a critical stretch for them coming up with this road trip starting down in Texas And then going to San Diego, they're going to miss Dylan Cease out there, I believe. They'll get Musgrove, I think, if the way it works out on Wednesday to finish up the road trip. Then they come home against Baltimore. So we'll learn a lot about them here in the next three series. But let's face it, back end of the bullpen is been, you know, with Fernando Cruz has been great. Pagan has, you know, kind of been touch and go there at points. Brent Suter, of course, the Cincinnati kid, Archbishop Mohler there has been awesome. And Alexis Diaz has done his thing. We know what this comes down to, guys. It's rotation health and rotation effectiveness. If they can be that good, I mean, Lodolo has been awesome coming back here. Hunter Green's been fine. Andrew Abbott's been fine. If they can get something out of Nick Martinez, Graham Ashcraft, maybe, you know, getting Frankie Montas back off the IL after that forearm contusion, the pieces are there for them to skyrocket, or this thing could fall apart real quickly.
All right, my man, great stuff as always. Welcome back to reality, and hopefully we talk again soon.
You got it, boys. Talk next week.
You got it. Jensen Lewis on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems bullpen phone for chin music. All right, we come back and we tell the truth next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Three dudes will make you feel like the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, we aren't swaggled, you could.
Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks, home of the 29 degree draft beer.
All right, CB, take us home.
All right, real quick, I want to throw this news in here for my Tell the Truth. I saw it from Bruce Feldman over at The Athletic. Good news, Brian Ferentz is back in the Big Ten on an offensive coaching staff this year, but not in a big role, at least. He's, according to Bruce, he's joining Maryland as an analyst for the Terps. My question to you is, should we now expect the Maryland offense to become just as bad as the Iowa offense?
No, because that's not possible.
He's
going to
have his imprint on it the way he did.
Or how much of an imprint?
And it's impossible to be that bad. The thing about Iowa, I mean, they were just trying to, like, play field position, hope their defense could score. that was their game plan on offense. Just maybe get a first down and then punt, and then maybe our defense will score. No, I don't think they'll be worse. The one thing about Maryland, Loxley's not a good head coach, but he can compile some talent. They usually have some speed out there. So as we know from Ohio State facing them, Ohio State usually puts up big points against them, but has given up some points. So no, I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as bad as the Hawkeyes' offense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, do you want to put it all on him? No, I mean, it's...
Buck stops with his dad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would feel a little weird because of his track record and thinking he could add something, but he did play the game. He was a lineman. I want to leave him there and not let him be designing anything or being anything a part of it. So, no, CB, I would say the truth is that he should not be a negative addition.
You calling me a liar?
I ain't calling you a truther.
All right, today is National Pretzel Day. A lot of different ways you could have a pretzel. The traditional way is the salted pretzel with maybe like a cheese dip or something like that. Mm. You could also go a little bit different with it, with the like the cinnamon sugar and icing. What is your preferred way to eat a pretzel?
Well, warm for sure. I don't need the salt. I always kind of scrape off the salt. I need two things. One, you mentioned... a cup of cheese, and I need yellow mustard. I'm just a yellow mustard guy, especially on a warm pretzel. If I have those two things at a ball game or something, it's outstanding. That would be the fresh, soft, warm pretzel, cheese, yellow mustard.
It's one of the most underrated things. I'm with you. I like soft pretzels so much. I could just do the pretzel with the salt. I need the salt on there. But yeah, then if I'm getting deluxe... I need some yellow mustard too, but then the cheese—that's when you're really—that's when you're really getting fancy. So I'm there for the cheese, but I like soft pretzels so much that I could just have them neat, soft pretzel neat.
The truth, it's over.
No condiments.
That's true, but like I'm with you on the. It's spoken like a true Chicagoan.
Condominiums, I never use.
I'll tell you what, man. I mean, you put a ketchup on a hot dog in Chicago, you might get in a fight, yeah. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. They have it down right.
It's a little nasty after the age of like 8.
Exactly. Yeah.
I do know that, that is a Rocky reference, correct?
Yes.
Which See, after Rocky? A while, you've rubbed
okay,
off on
the,
him.
There's too Which many Rocky? For me to decide. I mean,
if
I
you
don't
got
know.
That, extra points.
Rocky 2.
You got it. Dave got it. It's Rocky 2. Condominiums. I never use them. All right, go ahead. You want to invest? Condominiums, I hear, are safe.
All right, a lot of talent still left on the board to start tonight, Friday night, but let's look at them individually. Which of the remaining prospects surprised you the most not going in the first round?
Well, the first one that comes to mind for me is Newton from Illinois. I think every mock draft I looked at had him going in the first round. Some thought if the Bengals didn't get Murphy, which they didn't, they might reach and get Newton. I think, and I'd be thrilled if the Bengals traded up and got him today. So I'll go with defensive tackle Newton from Illinois.
I'm going to go with a young lad from Georgia, Ladd McConkey. I can't believe it. Now, if you told me that receivers weren't going to go at the back end, and that's why he slipped to the second round, I'd be like, fine, team needs, I get it. But these teams, I mean, the Bills trade out, the Chiefs go in to the end, and the 49ers get their wide out, and the Chiefs get theirs, and they don't take McConkey, and the Buffalo trades out of the first round twice. Now, here's how Buffalo saves themselves. They are picking first tonight, right at 33. I'm going to go out on a limb and probably bet on Ladd McConkey. I think because then they could say, wow, he slipped out of the first round. We got some value. Aren't we smart? We still got our guy, and we picked up something. So I'm going to guess Ladd McConkey, 33rd overall to Josh Allen's Bills.
Why you always lying?
Oh, it's funny. It's being reported that the Bills have received a lot of interest in that 33rd overall pick.
Oh,
so maybe,
trade out a, third
maybe
time?
A third trade out is possible.
Someone wants Newton, probably.
That could be it. The Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. The question is, which first-round quarterback will have the best rookie campaign in the NFL? Will it be Williams, Daniels, May, or other?
I will go Jaden Daniels.
I would want to pick Williams just because of what they're handing him. I could even go with McCarthy based on what he's walking into. And I'm going to give him the Johnny Bravo treatment. He fits the suit. The Vikings got a guy with a high floor, a head coach that's going to play to his strength. It's the running game that he's going to have for people to respect him because I agree with you. They probably fear Jaden more than J.J. McCarthy. There's not a lot of fear there. So to me, it's between Caleb. Boy, they gave him Adunze also, the Bears.
They do have weapons now. They've gone from no weapons. They've got three legit receivers now.
And don't sleep on Cole Kmet either.
Right, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. It's safer to go with Caleb than JJ.
We'll tell them the truth. All of it.
All right, final question for you for the week. Matt Ryan, earlier in the week, announced his retirement officially, even though he was doing TV for the broadcast last season. But my question to you is, he feels very confident he has a case for the Hall of Fame. Do you believe that's the case?
He's got a case. I think he'll fall just short. It wouldn't surprise me if he makes it, but I don't see Hall of Famer. It's that initial reaction test, you know? Do you think Hall of Famer when you hear Matt Ryan? I think a pretty
good NFL
quarterback, but not Hall of Fame quarterback. That's just my opinion. It's close.
The people that watch him, the people that were around when he was playing, know that he's got Hall of Fame talent. He does. I don't want to put 28-3 on him. That was anything but his fault, probably. They run the ball. They win the game. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I think that was MVP. More Shanahan. Yeah, and obviously the defense. I agree.
And I do urge people to go back and see how clutch he was. He in the fourth quarter, Matt Ryan was as good as anybody that played the game. I'm telling you, he was. But in your camp, you're not wrong to say he just doesn't scream Hall of Famer. And you're attaching that implode in the Super Bowl to him, and I don't want to do that. My first instinct was, no, it's not the Hall of Fame of good. It's got to be great. But I do think he will get in, and I think he will be deserving. I think there are worse quarterbacks in there than him.
And the truth shall set you free!
And I am looking at a half-empty bottle of Cavatier, which means that we are just about out of time.
Indeed we are. Bids, great to spend Friday with you, man.
Same with you, AR. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
You are going to be locked into every pick known to man.
You better believe it.
He's the guy to follow. All right, have a great weekend. The guys that follow us, Counterman and T-Bone, Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
NFL Draft continues today. This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The stunner of draft night was Michael Penix to Atlanta at pick 8. Penix was 26-1 to go to the Falcons, and he was 66-1 to be 8 overall. Marvin Harrison, as expected, was the first non-quarterback off the board. His odds were minus 400 to be the 4th pick. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keels. NFL draft continues tonight. The Cleveland Browns will have their first pick with the second round. Among the possible Ohio State players who could go next, tight end Cade Stover, defensive lineman Mike Hall, and linebacker Tommy Eichenberg. Baseball, Cleveland Guardians begin a series in Atlanta against the Braves. It's a meeting of two teams who each have 2.5 game leads in their respective divisions. Cincinnati Reds start a weekend series against the Texas Rangers in Arlington tonight. Columbus Clippers playing in Syracuse still. NBA playoffs tonight. Milwaukee at Indiana. Bucks will again be without Giannis Antetokounmpo because of a calf injury. That series tied at 1-1. L.A. Clippers at Dallas. They're even at 1-1 as well. Minnesota takes takes on Phoenix. Suns lead that 2-0. On the ice in the NHL, it's the Rangers at Washington, Vancouver at Nashville, Winnipeg at Colorado, and L.A. at Edmonton. This update brought to you by Dr. Mark Levy. Give him a call at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP or visit him online at sleepbettercolumbus.com. Breaking sports.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.